talked about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hold up! Everybody sit down and be quiet for a second. Everybody sit down and be quiet for a second. Now listen up. I'm serious. Listen up.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
If you show up, it's going down.
Raspberry Barrett. Oh, I was working part-time in a five and dime. My boss was Mr. McKee.
Really bad. Really very, very bad. Very, very, oh God, really deeply. Oh, I want to go back in time.
Hey, Sam.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, this is a lovely.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
69.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Daddy.
No.
Roll another one.
Damn, that girl is tight.
Just like the other one.
That's rock and roll, what can I say?
This one seems to be about to quit.
What did you do?
I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
I pity the fool.
Roll another one. Just like the other one.
I suck donkey.
This one seems to be about.
That's a sexy, that animal.
I don't have another cent.
Whoa! I didn't realize this was a trial. Objection, Your Honor.
Fridays are for suckers.
Just pass it around.
Like a monkey.
And now.
I'm all horned up right now. You don't even know what's going on. I'm horned up, everybody.
Our feature presentation.
I don't think that ever needs to be announced.
Mm-mm.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday the 13th of January. Right?
Oh. Did you just now realize it was Friday the 13th?
I did.
Is this something that means something to you?
Not at all.
Okay, good. Oh. Excellent.
Are you shocked by that?
Yes, very.
I am a little bit because you seem kind of superstitious.
Yeah. I like Friday the 13th, though.
What?
Do you have any feelings at all about breaking mirrors or walking under ladders or black cats or anything like that?
I avoid cats at all costs.
All cats suck.
All cats.
That's just to catch a
yes.
long.
Mirrors, I mean, not really a fan some days, especially in the morning. And ladders. Who has a ladder? I have a ladder. I bought a ladder. That's very exciting news. We won't talk
about it. Why would you ask that question?
Because my mind... I realized
who has
I just bought a ladder last month, and it was a huge purchase for me.
All right.
I'm sorry I asked.
Allie's gone bye-bye, everybody.
I apologize that I addressed the girl. That was a mistake. Hey, there's a story that happened over the holidays, just before Christmas. And we probably all saw the headlines, but I never clicked on it because we weren't at work and I didn't care. But the headline was 2 sex shop employees ward off alleged robber with dildos. You guys probably saw
yes.
that story that happened. But I want to thank Kevin Bean listener Roberto, who sent me some video from the actual surveillance video of the robbery and then an interview with the woman who was behind the register when the dude came in. And I tracked down an even longer, better version of it this morning. Now, this is Lotions and Lace, which, as you know, Allie, is out there in San Bernardino.
Sure.
Very popular shop. It's mm-hmm. just before closing, 15 minutes before the shop closed, 9:45 on December 16th. And the lady's behind the cash register doing her thing. And a guy walks in with a hoodie and a gun. And look, anyone who's ever worked retail knows that the first rule of armed robbery is give them whatever they want.
Right.
Nobody's life is worth whatever's in the register, right? That's the first. That's not what this lady did, and that's why this story made such news.
It was just before 10 on Wednesday night here at Lotions and Lace in San Bernardino. An armed robber is caught by cameras peering through the front window. Then suddenly, he storms through the door.
And I looked up, and he walks through and immediately reaches down his pants and pulls a weapon out.
Oof. You hope it's a weapon, right? Oof. You hope it's a weapon.
Lotions and Lace.
By the way, Allie, how long has the great Stan Chambers been working over there at Channel 5?
He retired about 6-7 years ago, but he was there, oh, God, I think over like 60 years maybe.
This is him. This is him on the story from last month.
Absolutely isn't.
Really?
Yeah, he retired.
Stan Chambers?
Had a big party. Maybe Jamie Chambers. That's his grandson.
I'll have to look again at the video I found, but I thought that's who it
was. It doesn't matter.
Well, I was just curious.
I mean, let's get into it.
But it doesn't
matter. Because we had cake, so I remember the party.
As a TV legend, though, I was just surprised to see him at 10 o'clock at night in San Bernardino.
And they would never send him to this story.
All right, so he pulls something out of his pants, and it's a gun.
A gun.
What's he say to you?
He says, this is a robbery. I want all the cash out of the drawer.
Amy, the store manager, is unfazed by the gun and lets him know it.
He said, are you kidding me? I said, really? Are you kidding me?
And by the way, it's so awesome in this video because as she's yelling at him, you can't hear the audio of the surveillance tape, but as she's yelling at him, are you effing kidding me? He doesn't know what to do. He's just like jumping up and down on his heels. He's so amped up to get in and get out.
Yeah, because gun wins.
Gun wins.
And nobody talks back to you.
Right. He's standing there pointing a gun. He's 4 feet from her, and she's just looking at him with her hands on her hip like, are you effing kidding me? And he just doesn't know what to do. He had no backup plan for what if they say no. He just assumed they'd hand over the money.
Of course. Yes.
Right now, you're going to try to rob me for $25 right now? Are you kidding me? And he continues to say, yes, I'm serious. I'm going to rob you.
At the same time, the gunman's partner is waiting out back in a blue SUV.
He says that he's going to shoot me, that I need to give him that money. And I just continue to yell at him and tell him he's an idiot.
Now, what? Did she say there was only 25 bucks in there?
Yes.
Yeah, it was a rough day, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that makes a big difference, too. I mean, it's not thousands of dollars.
It shouldn't make a difference.
$25.
Right.
Yeah.
Just
who
give him
cares?
The money.
Get the money out of your wallet.
So where's this coming from this this employee? Is it just a loyalty to her boss? Is it just she's had enough nonsense in, the,
yeah,
in her
life?
Yeah,
I think that's it. She's just had it. Like, you, this is it, dude. No.
You picked the wrong day and the wrong person.
Yeah, she only made 25 bucks that day. She's pissed, and she is not giving that back.
Right.
At one point, with the gun at her face, Amy reaches for her own weapon.
I was actually trying to look for my box cutter.
By the way, that seems like a dumb move is now to reach for your own weapon when somebody already has a gun drawn.
Every part of the story is a dumb move.
But I reached for my phone instead, so I pulled out my phone and tried to dial 911 as I'm yelling at him.
Another store employee then starts throwing adult toys and bottles of lotion at the thief.
This is where it gets awesome. Because somebody else just appears out of nowhere on the video, and yeah, she just starts whatever she can find on the counter. She just starts throwing at the dude, and she's hitting the dude. I mean, she's hitting the dude with dildos, and he's still standing there with a gun on him. Like, how's this going to end?
Hitting him at least twice.
I was pretty shocked that the girls took and did what they did.
Janelle Hargreaves is the owner of the store.
I'm just kind of going, oh my God, you guys. Why not just give him what he wanted? I mean, this could have turned really, really sour. And
sour is an understatement, by the way.
Yeah, no kidding.
Right?
It's their lives. That's the most important thing.
As the gunman fled empty-handed, he turned one last time as if ready to fire. He didn't.
How about that?
She got to him. She wore him down.
She won.
Yeah, I like it.
And last update I saw on the story, they were still looking for the guy. He had tattoos on his neck, and he was a olive-skinned guy, and they're still got surveillance video out and stuff, and they're looking for him, but they haven't found him. But
imagine you walk in, you think it's going to take about 20 seconds.
Tops.
Yep.
You have the gun, and then dildo to the face.
Right.
That's not what you expect.
Nobody expects
that.
No
one does.
You never expect a dildo to the face, right,
hey,
kids?
I have an update to the story.
Oh. Yes, please.
Definitely not Stan Chambers.
Okay.
He passed away last year.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that would make him unavailable for this
assignment? He was not available
assignment?
For that story.
I believe that's what she's saying, yes.
All right, good enough.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Oh, my
God, do I have to?
Oh, no, you don't.
Sounds like the one behind the counter. Internet Roundup on the program today. Got a brand new one for you. We have author Brad Meltzer.
Oh, he's the best.
In the studio.
He's a name you may not know, but trust me when I tell you, you don't want to miss his interview because he's one of our favorite Kevin and Bean guests.
Howie Mandel is on the show today, talking to us about his All-Star Comedy Gala. R.J. Bell is on the program today, taking a look at the NFL playoff weekend.
Go Texans, right? Who's with me?
Zero people, even in Texas? Did
Patriots,
I just say Texas?
They're playing my Patriots.
They're playing the Patriots,
Kevin. I know.
So
oh, you're
go still, Texans. You're...
Yeah, I don't really hate the Patriots.
Thank you, Kevin.
Wow, okay.
We also have the movie beat because it's Friday. We have a new Trump date for you. And you two at the Rose Bowl. So that's a pretty full show.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. We will come back with the showbiz beat. That's next. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:52.
It is finally Friday morning. Time for a first look at the showbiz beat here on the show. Ralph Garman steps in. What's going on, man?
Friday the 13th.
Right?
Dun, dun, dun. Da, 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 da. Da, 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 da.
You are all going to die tonight.
Friday 13th, tonight, 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I taking the stage at the Melrose Improv.
Oh, no, not on Friday the 13th.
For Hollywood Babylon. Ah,
nope.
It's going to be bad luck for the Blues because we're all going to have a good time at the Improv on Melrose with Hollywood Babylon.
Come see me and Kevin Smith tonight at 10. You can get your tickets at theimprov.com. Friday the 13th, of course, always makes me think of Friday the 13th.
Sure.
The movies. Did you know there have been 12 Friday the 13th movies?
No, I would have guessed
in the
seven
franchise.
Or eight, maybe.
12.
12.
And the next one is coming out this fall in October. On October the 13th.
Oh.
Which is a Friday.
Right.
Oh, man.
And it'll be the 13th Friday the 13th movie. Very exciting. Friday the 13th in 1980 was the first. Then Friday the 13th part 2. Then Friday the 13th part 3. Then Friday the 13th, the final chapter.
Oh.
Which was a lie. Friday the 13th, the new beginning. Then Friday the 13th, part 6, Jason Lives. Then part 7, The New Blood. Then part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan. Then, of course, Jason Goes to Hell, the final Friday.
Sure.
But it wasn't. Because then we had Jason X. The best of all the... Oh, the 13th movies.
That may be one of my favorite movies of all
time.
That's
when Jason went to space, remember.
Horrible.
Awesome. Horribly awesome.
Yes, both.
Then Freddy versus Jason, which was a crossover with Freddy Krueger from Nightmare on Elm Street. And then Friday the 13th, a remake of the original, came out in 2009. So we have another one coming out this fall. So everyone, take heart.
How many have you seen, Kevin, of those 12 movies?
I don't know. Maybe half.
15 of them. What's your favorite chocolate shake, Kevin? If I was going to look to someone to be an expert in chocolate shakes, I would turn to you. Like I would a fine sommelier if I was looking for a rare Pinot Noir to pair with a bouffe bouillon.
Okay, I don't know what's happening now.
I'm asking you, what's your favorite
what
chocolate shake?
Me to say?
I think he still wants the answer.
Oh, chocolate shake at Shake Shack.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Unless you go with fast food, then you go Wendy's.
Is that a shake, really?
I mean,
they consider a Frosty a shake?
Sort of.
Oh, Bean's going to get all
tough. Yeah, right?
Right.
I'll just ask.
Take it easy, Bean.
It's going to get you thrown out of the courtroom.
Yeah. It just doesn't
your
seem like a shake.
Your case is going to be dismissed.
It doesn't seem like a milkshake to me.
Of course
it seems like
it is.
A separate entity.
Right, but Ralph's just setting up a story. He's not.
Saying.
He wasn't looking for us to argue about shakes.
Not sure the Frosty counts.
Of course it does, by the way.
Does a fribble count?
A what?
A fribble?
Get out of the room.
A fribble.
Either join us in the conversation or don't.
You don't know
be
what a fribble
you are.
Is? You had friendlies,
I don't
didn't
want,
you?
Whatever you are.
I don't
being
know
right
what that
now.
Is.
Stop being that. Jude Law was on Live with Kelly. And who's she with these days? She still has no partner, right? This Kelly?
Yeah, they rotate different celebrities through all the time. Like Chris Hardwick did it a few days last week.
So Jude Law is talking about his new show, The Young Pope, or Pope Jr. or
Young Pope.
The Young Pope, yeah.
On HBO.
And he revealed that he has a passion for chocolate shakes. It's like his favorite thing in the world. So they asked him, where is your favorite chocolate shake ever that you ever got? And he said, the Shake Shack in New York.
Is that
How about that?
So he agrees with connoisseur Kevin Ryder.
Boom.
John Leguizamo apparently was the host, co-host for that day. He said White Castle was his favorite chocolate cake.
See, that's sort of an East Coast thing, so I don't know.
And Wendy, no, what's her name? Kelly.
Oh.
Said that Wendy's Frosty was her favorite chocolate cake.
Not a shake.
Not interested in your opinion on this.
I gotta go with the OG McDonald's. Doesn't the McDonald's chocolate shake?
I like McDonald's a lot. You asked the best, and it's way up there. I like it a lot.
We're way up there.
It is. Anyways, with whipped cream or without, Ralph?
No whipped cream.
Whip. A shake. Oh, whip.
No whipped cream on a shake.
Whip all day. Back to you.
No whip.
Whip it real good.
Thank you, Dave.
This is the one time he's paying attention.
Yeah,
he's
right.
Got that.
Time he's well, we started talking about chocolate shakes. Oh, I love chocolate shakes.
By the way, as a result of this conversation, is there any doubt that we're sending Beer Mug out for chocolate shakes now?
Of course not.
Yeah, that's got to happen.
Kevin's got to have one.
I'm upset if he's not already gone.
Yeah, he should know us well enough to know he should be in his car by now.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Liam Hemsworth celebrates his 27th birthday today. Diminutive comedian Brad Williams is 33. Orlando Bloom is 40. Patrick Dempsey turns 51 years old today. He's dreamy. He's McDreamy, right? He's McDreamy? McSweaty?
He was,
yes. Slappy?
McSleazy?
McLeaky?
You don't want to hear from me, so stop looking at me.
Oh, boy.
Oh,
this could be a
bitter.
Long morning, isn't it? But it has its upsides, now that
sure
I'm thinking
does.
About it. Yeah.
Sure does.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus is 56 years old today. All hail the queen. And Michael Pena, very talented actor, who I saw in that Chips trailer that dropped yesterday.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, Michael. Oh, Michael. We got to do better for you somehow.
He's mixing
buddy.
It up. He's putting a little comedy on the resume.
He does a lot of comedy.
Would you consider that comedy?
Did you see the trailer?
I didn't. You okay. Should watch the trailer.
Michael Pena's 41 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock.
We don't need to drink the milkshake on the air.
It's so
K-R-O-Q.
We've lost him.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show at
it's a 20, shiny object.
20 minutes after 6.
Muggs was pretty fast.
I was
going to
say that's
back.
The quickest he's ever been.
It's milkshakes. That's
motivated.
Probably why. He's got like 10.
I drink your milkshake.
He's got like okay. 10 in the other room.
Hey, 1 hour from right now, we're going to do the movie beat here in a second. But first, guys, 1 hour from right now, we're going to be looking for you two fans that are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show this morning. Because once again today, we are giving away tickets to their upcoming date at the Rose Bowl. They're playing May 20th. This is their Joshua Tree 30th anniversary tour. So we want you two fans. And we're doing it with you two fan songs. Now, Kevin, if you can put the milkshake down for long enough to explain, what's
it's
that
down.
Mean?
You make
whipped
up
cream all over his face.
It's
like
ridiculous.
He's eight.
Is that what?
No, it's not whipped cream. We're looking for songs about why you need to be the person that wins the tickets to see U2. You can do a parody of U2. You can make up your own song. You can make up your own rap. Whatever you want to do, you sing us a song about why you need to go, and everybody else doesn't, and then you can possibly win those tickets.
You have to put the other people down. You can't just put yourself up. You have to say why the other people don't.
Got
to
be a diss track.
No, you got to slap them down.
That's to be a diss track by name.
Is that what you have to do?
Right.
That's nice, Kevin. Really.
No, it's a fan song. So you make a fan song of why you want to be there, and then
how much you love you too.
Yeah.
That's what we're looking for. 1-800-520-1067. Not an hour. That's 1 hour from right now. We'll give you some tickets to go see U2 at the Rose Bowl.
I drink your milkshake.
All right. Thank you, Roddy. It is Friday morning. Ralph is here. That means it's time for the movie beat.
Oh, jeez.
I'm just kidding.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's movie beat.
Welcome to my world.
Who was that joke for? That
you were just being.
Just one person?
Just being.
That's a good use of radio, I think.
I felt like it was warranted.
A lot of movies coming out this weekend, including Monster Trucks. Here's the thing about Monster Trucks. It's a monster inside a truck. It's a monster that takes over the truck. And that makes it a monster truck.
You're all going to die tonight.
Because the alien monster, who's lovable, by the way, gets inside this lovable loser's truck, and then he has a very powerful truck.
Everything
is this
that you're,
real?
Everything you're saying right now, you're making up.
That has
right.
a monster in it, and then the monster helps him.
That's not
with
thing.
His life.
That is nothing.
Animated.
No,
oh.
no, this is a live-action film starring
oh.
Lucas Till.
Wow.
Thomas Lennon, Barry
oh.
Pepper.
Oh,
yeah. Real people in this real movie
hmm.
about a monster inside a guy's truck.
So
So these are actors who said yes when this role was offered?
Called Monster Trucks.
I feel like that is how movies work, Bean.
This movie did not work, I don't think. You know the pitch session was, you know Monster Trucks, right? What if we take the name Monster Truck and we make it literal and there's a monster truck? Give that man a check. Green light. And they went right into production.
Why isn't the answer what else you got?
Because we live in a new world. Here's the trailer for Monster Trucks.
Local residents have reported numerous sightings of an unidentified creature.
We're looking for something unusual.
What are you?
There's something going on here. I don't even know how to begin to explain.
Take a look.
He likes hiding in my truck.
This thing is awesome and it's smart.
It is an engine for my truck.
Isn't that right, Creech?
You named him Creech?
Trip, this man might have a word with you.
I'm not going anywhere with you.
Yes, you are.
The monster is in the truck!
See, the monster's in the truck.
I don't get it.
But then the monster dies, but then he comes back as a different monster. And then eventually, at the end,
dog's purpose.
It comes back around again, and he meets the original owner of the truck, and they play Frisbee. Cried when I saw the trailer.
Everyone with a soul cried at that.
Monster truck.
Everyone.
A Monster's Purpose coming up this Friday. Also, The Book of Love comes out in limited release this weekend. Jason Sudeikis stars as an introverted architect who loses his wife, but finds a new cause when he tries to help out a homeless teenager. Maisie Wilson plays the teen. Jessica Biel also stars along with Mary Steenburgen. Here's some clips from the trailer of The Book of Love.
It's off, Amber Alert!
I have your plans right here. I've got a ton of ideas. I really think I'm supposed to do this to help you.
Let's get one thing clear. I'm doing it because I got no choice. And if you mess with my stuff, I'll beat your ass.
Got it. Henry, I need you to get back to work.
Who is she?
I'm helping her.
What was she like?
She was kind of wild.
Like a hurricane. I was wrong about you.
How so?
You're not a perv.
I'm glad that's finally cleared up.
I like that Jason Sudeikis.
Yeah, he's a good actor.
Yeah.
I do too.
The Comedian opens up in limited release. Robert De Niro as an aging insult comic. Also stars Leslie Mann, Danny DeVito, and Edie Falco as his agent. Looks to be very funny. Great cast. Taylor Hackford is the director of this film. Here's some clips from The Comedian.
Uncle Jackie, you're going to get up and say a few words.
No, we don't want it to become a thing.
It's an honor being here to celebrate Brittany and Frankie's wedding. Can I address the 800-pound gorilla in the room? Flo. What have you done to my poor little brother? He was 6 feet tall when you got married.
We have 3 offers for appearances.
They want you.
No, this isn't your crowd.
You're a dancer?
Yeah.
Come sit on my lap. I'll spin you around like a dreidel.
You're viral again.
Over 3 million views in 8 hours, and it is still climbing.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jackie Burke.
Ralph, when are you going to get to the real movies?
Come on, De Niro is an insult comic?
Good.
I'm going to see that.
Yeah, me too. I want to see that.
Come on.
How can you not want to see De Niro as a comic?
I mean, you know, what else is there?
Wait, your wife drags you to it, and you come back saying how much you loved it.
It's possible.
Yeah, it's very possible. Sleepless. Jamie Foxx plays a cop in Las Vegas who's got ties to the underworld. And then they kidnap his son. What's going to happen? I don't know. But it's going to go down. Michelle Monaghan also stars Dermot Mulroney, Gabrielle Union, as his estranged wife. Here's some clips from the trailer of Sleepless.
Vincent Downs, you stole something from me.
Bring it back or your son's not coming home.
They said it was just going to be an easy grab.
Well, it ain't no easy grab. They got teeth.
What is going on?
They have a son.
Find him.
I've been working undercover for 2 years.
He knows the players. He knows their methods.
I will pay every cop on our payroll to see Vincent Downs dead. You touch my son, I'll kill you.
Yeah.
All right.
Black Taken. What?
They just took me a while to figure out Black Taken.
The Bye Bye Man. Oh, you don't want to mess with the Bye Bye Man.
You are all going to die tonight.
You don't want to talk about the Bye Bye Man. You don't want to think about the Bye Bye Man. You don't want to say the Bye Bye Man's name, or Bye Bye Man shows up.
He said Bye Bye Man a lot right now.
And then he murder people, and then you die.
Okay.
Bye-bye man. Here's the rule about the bye-bye man. You can't say the bye-bye man's name.
Right.
And more importantly, don't think about the bye-bye man. If you tell me I'm not supposed to think about the bye-bye man, you know the one thing I'm going to be thinking about?
Yeah, the only thing.
The bye-bye man.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye man. Here's some clips from the bye-bye man.
If you say his name, or even think it, he'll come for you.
What the hell is that?
What is it?
He's found us.
Who?
He's trying to get inside us.
Jesus.
Don't say it. Don't think it.
It spreads like a virus.
Don't say it. Don't think it. Don't say it. Don't think it.
I'm afraid of putting this into your head.
Tell me.
Bye-bye, man.
Bye-bye, man.
Right?
Right.
Don't say it. Don't think it. Don't say it. Don't think it.
Right. And lastly, Live by Night opens up in wide release this weekend. Director Ben Affleck directs actor Ben Affleck in a story of gangsters set in the Prohibition era and the underworld dealings of organized crime. Brendan Gleeson also stars in this film. Elle Fanning, Chris Messina. Ben Affleck is a terrific director. You would think, being as good as he is, he could attract a better star for his films. But Live by Night stars Ben Affleck. Here are some clips from the trailer of Live by Night.
I had a plan. Do you think that we got where we are by letting some inbreds muscle us?
If that's who you think we are, you're making a fatal miscalculation. We're clerks and bankers and police officers, and we even got a judge. And if you're dumb enough to fight us, I'm gonna rain bloody hellfire down on you and all you love.
So you're threatening me with people who are more powerful than you?
Exactly.
So what am I talking to you for?
Yeah! Love when he gets all monotoned.
There is a certain appeal for gangster movies, though.
Agreed.
Agreed!
Certain appeal for Ben Affleck. Huh? Who's with me? No one in the room? No one? Really?
Apparently not.
Come on!
But please enjoy Live by Night. I'm going to see Monster Trucks. Yeah, me too, buddy.
That's my jam.
Lives in the truck, and he makes things crazy fast, and things happen. Ah, Monster Trucks. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
The Los Angeles Clippers, you guys, they play professional basketball at Staples Center, don't you know?
That's
and they're going to be at home on Monday versus Oklahoma City. We are giving away yet more tickets right now for you. Looking for Clippers fans at 1-800-520-1067. So you win the tickets for Monday night, and then you qualify for a grand prize drawing we'll do today. That includes access to pregame warm-ups. You can take photos on the Clippers court and Lexus Club passes and parking. That's the platinum way to go to the Clippers game, right?
Yeah.
That's Lexus the platinum way?
Parking? Yeah, that's a good deal right there. So win the Clippers tickets if you want right now, 1-800-520-1067. Beer mug is standing by to take your call, and we're looking for caller 20.
All right, let's talk about Instagram Live. Let's talk about Jaden Smith. Will and Jada Smith Pinkett? Is that her name? Their son, Jaden Smith. He is very distraught, you guys. He's really bummed. Yeah. He's talking about moving out of Los Angeles.
Oh, how come?
Nobody supports him, Bean. Nobody supports the kids.
Nobody
gives him any support to be creative and to change the world.
Doesn't he have an incredibly privileged life where he could essentially do anything he wanted to do with his time or money?
Sure, but other than that, he gets no support.
What is it he wants to do that people aren't letting him do?
It's going to be a lot more than clothes and music. I know that from his Instagram post. Well, so, let's listen to it.
Well, are Will and Jada not supporting him?
I don't know.
Well, that's concerning.
No, because at the very beginning of the first Instagram Live that Jaden put up, he says, wait till I tell my... It's going to be funny when I tell my dad I failed.
Oh.
Yeah. So apparently his dad's part of the problem? I don't know. You guys help me decide.
It's going to be so funny to tell my dad I failed straight up.
Yeah, you didn't fail. You're not failing.
All right, so whoever's sitting with him, you don't see them. You just see Jaden. So he says, isn't it going to be funny when I tell him I failed? And the camera is like, you didn't fail. It's okay.
Doesn't he have a little bit of a career? I mean, he was the Karate Kid, right? I mean, he's had some success in show business.
He has no support, Bean.
I'm sorry.
You're so insensitive.
Everybody follow your heart, okay? You know what I'm saying?
do exactly what you want to do, be the you that you want to be. I'm about to move out of L.A. There's a lot of bad things here.
All right, so he's announcing that he's moving out of Los Angeles. Okay. Here are his reasons.
Create the life that you want for yourself. You know, don't try to be somebody else, you know.
By the way, do you guys think that he really believes, like, no one has ever said this stuff before?
It's groundbreaking.
You get the idea that he feels that he's the only one that has discovered this magical truth that nobody else has ever thought of.
That's the impression you get from all of his social media, is that he thinks that he is coming down from the mountaintop with a tablet, and we're learning from the things that he's discovered.
And we're all going to go, oh, be myself. That's a genius idea.
And it's hard these days to really create the life that you want for yourself, because there's nobody here that's really, like, supporting the youth or the youth's creativity and the things that they want to do and how they want to live life, you know. There's no one.
Hey, how about your mom and dad?
Right.
Giving you all the money and all that and all the access. What about all that?
Supporting us in that way. And that's what I'm trying to do with Misfits Rap. And
I mean, if he thinks it's hard to create the life for yourself that you want, try doing it when you're not Jaden Smith.
Yeah, no kidding.
In 2017, we're going to do some dope, some really, really dope inspirational stuff that's beyond just music and clothes, you know.
All right, so that's the first one. He's going to do some dope stuff, some dope inspirational stuff.
Okay.
Now, you have, if I recall correctly, around the end of 2016, Kevin, you support using dope again in the English language.
You were trying to bring it back.
I mean, I was trying hard.
Uh-huh.
But now that I hear Jaden say it, I don't feel like.
See, he's right. You're squashing his creativity.
Plus, that's right, man.
Plus, I tried it about 15 times and failed every time. So I don't think I could pull it off. All right, so that was the first one. Now, he's at the DMV. Okay. And he's doing another Instagram live.
I'm at the DMV. It just shows you how sad society and life is. You know what I'm saying?
All right, stop right there. Being at the DMV doesn't show how sad society and life is.
Jaden would disagree with you, sir.
It shows that you have motor vehicle business. It shows that you need a driver's license. That's all that shows. It's not a reflection on the state of the world today. It's just, hey, you got to go get a driver's license.
I got to tell you, Jaden Smith sounds wise, and I'm going to listen to him instead of you, Bean. Because you won't give him the support that he needs to be creative.
Not.
Sometimes. It's just, I don't know. I just wish.
All right, now here's where he starts wishing that Instagram Live was used for something better.
Than videos from the DMV?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Where you say that no one's supporting you.
Oh.
Yeah.
Dude, this is crazy. What is Instagram Live? Why aren't scientists Instagram Living? Huh? Why am I?
It's a good question.
That's a great question.
Why
I'm wondering the same thing.
Why aren't scientists Instagram Living?
Just pouring stuff in beakers, turning on Bunsen burners. I've watched that.
Putting on those white coats.
Yes.
Why aren't people Instagram Living to cure cancer right now?
That's another great question.
That's not how it works.
I feel like maybe they're busy.
If you just went Instagram Live, you could solve that problem.
Yeah.
Cancer would go away.
Hold on, Dr. Warren. I've got to Instagram Live this next step. What is happening with this kid?
Why are we Instagram Living about peace right now? This makes no sense. Nothing about this life makes any sense.
Here's the thing. If you're unhappy with Instagram Live while you're doing it, do something better.
Right. Don't use it. Or Instagram about peace, if that's what you want to see.
Why aren't we Instagram Living about saving people's lives? You know, sitting here on Instagram, sitting here being distracted by everything. And we're not even focusing on our own lives.
Well, then shut the thing off.
I don't think he's getting this.
None of this makes any sense.
You know what I'm saying? You got, like, we Instagram Live to escape. We go on people's Instagram Lives to escape, so we don't have to focus. To really think about the fact that nobody wants to support our creative endeavors and nobody wants to help us be creative.
Zero.
Who's
no one there?
Jaden Smith from being creative? That's the part I don't get.
I don't know, but we should support that guy.
Everybody, everybody is stopping him from following his heart and being who he is Instagram Living about the cure to cancer.
Nobody wants to give us a support system to make something that's actually better for the world. They don't want us to change.
And then it stopped.
Oh, wow.
They don't want him to change the world. See, he has all the answers.
Right.
But nobody wants them from him.
Look,
I know that they're
sad, right?
Jaden and Willow Smith have some struggles as a result of being in the limelight, but a lot of it they want. A lot of it they bring on themselves, right?
Right.
Jaden Smith certainly, if he's tired of the way he's being treated, doesn't have to do things like this.
He's been doing things the way he wants to, hasn't he?
I feel like he has. Yeah. So.
No one's stopping him. We've all said many times, doesn't he have parents that go, that's terrible, do it again?
I think that's the problem. His parents tell him all of this is great. But that's the problem.
Right, but then he says he gets no support from anyone. And by the way, the DMV, right?
Oh,
what's the point of thinking?
Right? 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:53.
You too, you guys. In about 15 minutes, we're going to be looking for your calls. We're looking for YouTube fan songs. Sing about why you love the band and why you need to be there to see them at the Rose Bowl coming up on May 20th. We're giving you a little bit of a heads up so you can get your act together here. About 15 minutes from right now, we'll ask you to call to win those YouTube tickets. Also, we'll check in Las Vegas with RJ Bell about playoff football this weekend. Rob is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Friday.
Happy Frisbee Day, everybody. Happy Frisbee Day.
It's Frisbee Day.
Sure it is.
All right.
Are we going to send Beer Mug out to buy some Frisbees now?
Is today the anniversary of the first Frisbee from Wham-O?
It is indeed, Bean. The very first Frisbee was developed on this day in 1957 by the Wham-O Company.
Like Bean didn't know that.
I didn't know it was Frisbee Day.
Yeah, please.
Apparently there was a bakery near Yale University called Frisbee's Pie Company. And the drivers of the Frisbee trucks would teach the students on campus how to take pie tins, empty pie tins, and throw them and play a game with them.
Huh.
And a Wham-O executive saw that on campus and said, dude! or something to that effect. And then ran back and they came up with the Frisbee. How about that? Really based on a pie tin. And now you know the rest of the story.
That is a toy that has stood the test of time. It's just as much fun to play a Frisbee now as ever.
Right?
Right.
Love me some Frisbee.
Who plays Frisbee?
I was an ultimate
Not
Frisbee
Bean.
Player, you know.
First, before we get to that, Who plays Frisbee less than Bean?
Oh, are you kidding me? I think Bean's always out there in the French Quarter just throwing Frisbees to all his jambalaya friends.
All right, now let's get to you. What did you say, ultimate Frisbee
well,
boy?
We had this conversation before. I played ultimate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
were you good?
I was very good.
You were in a league, right?
I was in a league, yeah.
Is there video of that anywhere?
No, this was before video existed. Oh. I think maybe before film existed.
Is that?
Yeah. I think there may be some sketches on a cave wall somewhere of me doing this, but that's about it.
It's too bad.
Yeah, it is too bad. All right. Let's talk about music. People love music, right?
Sure.
That's what I say. I say people like music. People like superheroes. Well, how about a musical superhero team-up? It has been announced that Supergirl and The Flash will team up this season against the Music Meister. You heard me. He's a real villain.
The Music Meister is a villain?
Yes, he is.
In whose universe?
In this universe.
I mean, I guess what I'm asking is, does it come from Supergirl comics or something like that in the past, or is this new to the show?
No, he's been a villain for the Justice Society of America initially, and then the JLA later on.
The Music Meister.
So he just plays like really bad music, and everybody goes, "Oh, that sucks," and then they walk away.
Yeah, Fred Durst will be playing the role on the show.
It's the weakest one I've ever heard.
No, it isn't, because then it's going to be an all musical episode, and Flash and Supergirl will be singing. They'll break into song. It's a musical episode team-up superhero music team-up musical.
All right.
You guys don't know, man. You don't get it.
I like both those shows. I'll give it a shot.
Yeah.
It's not my type of thing, but I'll give it a shot.
More music news. This is great news. This summer, hitting the road together are Def Leppard, Poison, and Tesla.
Yay!
Kids love the Tesla.
Right. Why would anyone name a band if you're the guy who invented the electric car, first of all? That's what I want to know. If you're going to name a band, why would you just pick the guy who invented the electric car? That's crazy.
No one would think that.
No one would think that Tesla invented the electric car?
Right.
I think somebody might think it.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
You know, figures from history rap against each other. This particular one is Nikola Tesla.
who, of course, came up with the Tesla automobile,
uh-huh.
and Thomas Edison. It's really weird to think that there's somebody somewhere writing a rap for the guy that invented the Tesla car.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
He wasn't kidding.
Nope.
Guys, I was joking.
No.
You were clearly joking.
Clearly not.
Clearly joking.
Clearly not joking.
You guys knew I was kidding.
It was obvious that you thought that was a thing.
Really, Kevin? Really? I mean, really? Nikola Tesla invented the Tesla car? Really?
By the way, it's not an incredible stretch to think that the same name, right? I mean, it does make sense if you don't know.
He was dead for like 50 years
before the Tesla car. Who knows that?
Seems like a lot of people knew it, Kevin.
All right.
I can only know one guy who didn't know it.
That's my only defense.
I can only really confirm one guy not knowing it. That's all I really know. I'm going to have to assume a lot of other people did know it.
I accept your score.
Right?
Right.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Liam Hemsworth is 27 years old today. Our little friend Brad Williams celebrates his 33rd birthday. Orlando Bloom is 40. Michael Peña turns 41. Patrick Dempsey, 51 years old today. And actress, comedian, goddess, Julia Louis-Dreyfus celebrates her 56th birthday today. When's damn Veep coming back?
Good question.
I need more Veep in my life. Although we are currently living in a world that's very Veepy, really. It's crazier. It's ridiculous than Veep.
Yeah.
How's Veep going to come back after what the press conference we just watched? We'll have to wait and see. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
If you've still got a team in the NFL playoffs this weekend, your fingers are crossed. How will you do? Let's find out as we head to Las Vegas with our friend R.J. Bell. Hit it, Steve.
Cause he's R.J. Bell. R.J. Bell.
RJ is the founder of Pregame.com, the exclusive odds provider for the Associated Press. Happy Friday to you, sir. How are you?
Oh, man, what a big weekend.
Yes, it is a big weekend. Now, do you want to look back for just a moment? You had a rough 1 out of 3 with the wild card weekend picks. What went wrong,
whoa,
RJ?
One out of three. 1 and 2. Okay. You know what I'm confused by? Listen, I'm not going to be negative towards you, but I got to speak the truth.
All right.
Is 4 straight weeks prior to last week, winning weeks.
Right.
All right. Win.
Right.
Win. That's
right.
4, right?
Uh-huh.
You got it?
Right.
Last week, you didn't even mention that. You didn't even. This week, 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm. It's take you for granted,
hey,
RJ.
Let's take some time and look backwards for a moment.
RJ, can I welcome you to Being RJ? we take you for granted. And we're frankly surprised when you don't have a winning week. I think that's what happened here, RJ.
That's a sign when a relationship is truly special is when you can take them for granted. So, fair enough.
All right. Let's move on to this weekend's divisional playoffs. We start with your underdog special. You have my Seattle Seahawks in their toughest game in weeks heading into the Atlanta Falcons house. The Falcons have been very, very hot. What do you think?
Yeah, we're going with Seattle here. 5-point underdog. Listen, the playoffs are unlike any other game, and because that experience matters, you got Matt Ryan on one side in his career, 1 playoff win, and that's a double negative. That 1 win only is a sign of lack of experience for Matt Ryan. But number 2, it adds to the pressure. When you've had such a good season, now you're at home, you're supposed to win the game, you're the favorite, man, you got to figure that pressure might be a negative. On the other hand, Russell Wilson, 8 playoff wins in his young career. And in the playoffs, not only is it different when it comes to pressure, it's different when quarterbacks run more. Now, why do they run the ball more? Is because it's risk versus reward. During the regular season, you're risking getting injured. The reward is it's great to run. Quarterbacks that can run are very effective. In the playoffs, a guy like Russell Wilson will run even more because the reward is so much bigger in the playoffs. That's one of the reasons Russell Wilson has done so well. Now, if you look at Seattle last week, they ran the ball. That was very physical. And Atlanta is not very good against the run. Last thing on this game is whenever Seattle is getting points, the last 25 times, they've covered the spread 76% of the time. They're getting points here. Oh, I'm going to give you one more trend. Russell Wilson has never lost the game in the NFL by more than 10 points. Never, ever We're getting five. So maybe they lose by 6, 7, 8, 9, or 10. But I like those odds. Seattle plus five.
I just have to ask as a PS, because I know we have Falcons fans out there, including one in our office and our producer, Dave. Isn't the one playoff game that Matt Ryan won in his career against the Seattle Seahawks, though? Does that make a difference?
You know, I don't remember that, but that's been so – it may be, but that's been – since it hasn't been the last few years, okay. I don't think there's any sense of revenge. If any, you know, might be a little revenge for Seattle. I would say that's a neutral.
All right. Best bet. We move on to the next game. This is the Kansas City Chiefs -1.5 over the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm sure you factored in Ben Roethlisberger. Looks like he's healthy and ready to go this weekend.
Yeah, but I think when you say look like, that means there's some uncertainty, and we'll talk about that. But first, the trend of the week. Andy Reid, coach for Kansas City, when he has a bye. Now, what's a bye is you had the week prior off, and you have 2 weeks to prepare. In his career, 19-2 straight up. Wow. 19-2. And when you're only laying 1.5 points, like KC is, well, you pretty much just have to win the game. So, man, that's a good trend backing us up there. And the logic of that is repeatable, right? You got extra time. You're a superior coach. That really matters. On the other hand, Pittsburgh, I'm a fan, a big fan, but I treat them objectively. There's a big drop-off when they go on the road. Even more so with these longer trips. Last 20 games outside of the Eastern time zone for the Steelers, 6-14 against the spread. Steelers special teams have been poor. Really a big question mark this year. Kansas City special teams, they've made many big plays. I would not be surprised to see one. You talked about Big Ben's foot. Listen, there's no way we can know for sure. Is he 100%, 95, 90? So it's either neutral, which is, hey, he's 100%, no big deal, or it's a negative. And that's what professionals love. They love to be on the side when there's uncertainty that it's either neutral for them or it's positive for them. And that's what we got here with Kansas City. We're going to make them the best bet, laying 1.5.
Now, does that hurt you as a lifelong Steelers fan to say those words?
No, I'll be honest with you. In a way, it's like an emotional hedge, right? So I want to win the bet. I've already bet this game. But if somehow I lose the bet, well, at least the Steelers won. So in a way, I'm hedging.
Smart. Okay. All right, now we move on to the big game pick of the week. It's the Dallas Cowboys over the Green Bay Packers. How come? The Cowboys, I mean, who's won more than the Cowboys have this year?
Yeah, we're going with the Cowboys, 4.5 over Green Bay. But how good has Green Bay looked recently? So they had 7 straight must-win games, 7 straight victories. Last week in front of the world, they dominated the Giants on TV. Aaron Rodgers, he's thrown 22 straight touchdowns since his last interception. Think about that. And all that is why we're picking Dallas. Because remember, with Vegas, it's not about good or bad teams. It's about overrated or underrated teams. Green Bay is good for sure, but right now they're overrated after this really impressive run that everyone's plugged into. Now, though, wide receiver Jordy Nelson, one of their key players, is likely out this week. Also, Green Bay's on the road this week. Last week they were home. Last 5 years, Green Bay is exactly 500 on the road. That's not so good. And we're taking a Dallas team that was better than Green Bay all season. They've been resting at home. They didn't even have to play last week. And they're not much more than a standard home field advantage favorite here. Big game pick, Dallas -4.5.
How about that? All right, and you got Kansas City -1.5 over the Steelers, the Seahawks +5 over Atlanta, and we're not even mentioning the New England Texans game because, let's face it, the Patriots are going to win by either 30 or 40. That's the only decision that has to be made, right?
The biggest point spread, the biggest favorite in the playoffs this century, New England favored by 15.5. This is a big one for sure.
I want to ask RJ one more non-football thing because you shared something with our producer Dave before we went on the air that I thought was fascinating. I didn't know you could bet on politics in Las Vegas, but true or false, RJ, that it is even money in Las Vegas that Donald J. Trump will be impeached or resign from office during his first term?
Yeah, so this is not Nevada. Nevada doesn't allow this, but in Europe they have millions and millions of dollars of political betting. It's one of the biggest betting events over there is around politics. And some of the books do prop bets like this. And right now you can bet if Trump finishes his first term, it's minus 120, so a little better than a favorite. And if he is impeached or resigned, is even money. Now, here's the caveat quickly on this. Two quick things. One, that's just data. The thing about politics is, no matter what you say, people think you're taking a side.
Right.
I remember when Romney and President Obama had their debate, I tweeted out before the debate, as of right now, Obama has a 68% chance to win the presidency or retain it. And then after the debate, if you remember the first debate, Romney did quite well, a lot of people thought. It went from 68 to, let's say, 62%. And people are hate-tweeting me saying, oh, you must be a Republican or you must be a Democrat. So these are just the facts. But right now, the odds are saying Trump has even money to finish out the term.
And it's so shocking because in the history of the United States, only two presidents have ever been impeached. Only one has ever resigned from office. Yet this man is even money. That's just crazy. But they need to make that kind of betting available to us in America, RJ. Well, make that happen, sir.
The problem is that you have to let them hold your money for 4 years, right? You make the bet, and even if you're right, you don't get paid for 4 years.
All right. Great stuff. You can see
or
so
two, or one. You know, you don't know how many.
Well, or 8 months.
Right.
Well, if you say yes, it's going to be four. Or if you say he's going to do the whole term, you'd have to wait. For
right,
yeah.
Sure. All the sports and so much more at pregame.com, the exclusive odds provider for the Associated Press. Let RJ know how you do if you put anything down on this weekend's games on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. The website is pregame.com. Have a great week, sir. We'll do it again next Friday. Thank you.
Thank you.
Fans, we're looking for you right now. We've been giving you a heads up all morning that we're looking for your fan songs. What does that mean, Kevin, for people as they go to their phones at 1-800-520-1067?
Any type of song you have to sing. You can make up a rap. You can use one of the U2 songs and do a parody song, put your own words in. But why do you need to see U2 at the Rose Bowl? You come up with a fan song, and we're going to take your calls next at 1-800-520-1067.
30 years since Joshua Tree. Allie, weren't you saying it's still one of your favorite albums of all time?
Every single song. It's one of those albums that you don't fast forward one.
Yeah. Yeah, no filler, all killer,
yeah.
As they say.
That's how they
they're
going to
be performing the entire album May 20th at the Rose Bowl. Don't forget, tickets go on sale this Tuesday morning at 10 for that show. It's coming up on May 20th. The Lumineers are opening up. We are giving away tickets right now for you at 1-800-520-1067 with a game that we like to call U2 Fan Songs.
U2 Fan Songs. U2 Fan Songs. U2 Fan Songs is on at the Rose Bowl. U2 Fan Songs. U2 Fan Songs. U2 Fan Songs is on. Playing Joshua Tree. U2 Fan Songs. U2 Fan Songs. U2 Fan Songs is on. Bonham Sunglasses.
What is Omar on? What's wrong with him?
He's getting all sexy on us.
Here's another in a long list of games I would be terrible at, but I'm always impressed with our listeners and how creative they are. So we're looking for your song of any type about why you love the band or why you need to be there. Who's up first?
First is Lorraine in Newport Beach. Hi, Lorraine.
Hi, good morning.
Welcome to U2 Fan Songs. You've got something for us?
I sure do.
All right.
Ready?
Let's hear it.
I can't believe the news today. I got burned by Bean again. I can't make him go away. How long do I wait for ticks? How long can Bean be a cancer chemo surgeries? Devastation that's been me. I just want to see you two for free. Sunday, bloody Sunday. Sunday.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. All right. I'm not sure why I need to be a dick in your song, but all right, Lorraine, we appreciate your effort. Thank you for the call. You hang on. You
it's not just her song, by the way.
How dare you? Let's try Diego. Let's go to line three, please, Baldwin Park.
Hey, Diego.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
We are good. U2 okay. Fan Songs is what we're looking for. What do you got for us?
Okay, so I got a parody of The Fresh Prince. So here it goes.
A parody of The Fresh Prince, you said.
Well, of course.
Okay.
Obviously, Kevin.
That's acceptable. Go ahead.
So this is the story all about how I spent a lot of money on some U2 tickets, and I like to take them in. Just sit right there. I'll tell you how I'm trying to win some tickets today. And east of L.A., born and raised at the Rose Bowl Field, where Bono will sing, home of the Bruins, the World Cup games, and the Trojans and other concerts. And so a couple of guys, and Kevin and Bean, trying to cause trouble on my radio. I was about to change the station until they said, we have some tickets for you. Some music tickets have you seen for us? All right.
I'm sorry. It looks like another line is coming through. We apologize, Diego. Good effort. Hang on, please. You're still eligible. Let's try let's try Rob. Rob's in Rancho Cucamonga. He's on line six.
What kind of noise was that? Hey, Rob.
How are you?
We're good. Welcome to YouTube Fan Songs. What are you going to be doing here?
It's a parody of the song One.
All right.
Ooh, that's a tough song to sing. Good luck.
Here's Rob.
Is my day getting better, or will it be the same? Will I win the tickets to you too, or will I be put to shame? Will it my turn, my time, to win the tickets and not those other guys? I've won, and I'm not ashamed to sing a U2 song that sounds pretty lame.
I like it.
I don't hate it at all. Thank you, Rob. Hang on, sir. Let's go to Southgate Line 1. This is going to be Joey. He's also trying to win tickets to go see U2 at the Rose Bowl.
Hey, Joey.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What song are you going to do?
It's going to be All I Want Is You.
All right.
In the Kevin and Bean version.
Here's Joey.
You need to know, since you've announced the U2 show, tried winning tickets to the bowl on the Kevin and Bean show. 'Cause I just want to go.
I sort of have a boner.
Yeah, I'm pregnant.
Can Joey kind of sing, you guys?
I am totally pregnant right now, you guys.
Wow. All right. Yeah. All right. Hang on, sir. Let's do one more. Let's go to Carson, line four. Let's make Mitch our final contestant.
Hey, Mitch.
Hey, how's it going?
We are doing YouTube Fan Songs is on. What do you got for us?
I got a parody of Vertigo.
Vertigo.
Ooh, Vertigo. All right.
All right. Here's Mitch.
I am calling you for tickets to the road for you to show. My girl is telling me you and I should go. So give me tickets to the U2 show. I want to hear the music. I want to see the crowd. I want to hear the music and listen to the crowd. Hello, hello. I want to go, yeah, to the show.
Okay. All right. Very good. Very good.
Oh, God.
All right.
All right. All right.
Mitch. No one enjoyed it more than he did.
All right, Mitch.
Thank you, Mitch.
All right.
All right. Are we Team Joey or is there a drawing? What do you guys think? Because I thought there were some other worthy
competitors. Rob was great.
No, I think you're thinking Rob. I don't think we even went to Joe.
Yeah, Joey's the one that you got a boner from.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think Rob, the guy that did the parody of One,
I like that one.
Would be my vote.
Yeah.
Bean, all right.
I'm going to vote for a drawing. I'm sorry.
Okay,
I can't decide because wow. I liked several of them a great deal, and I thought there was a lot of hard work and effort that went into it. So we got Joey, we got Lorraine, we got Diego, we got Mitch, and we got Rob. They're all eligible. One will win a pair of tickets to go see you two at the Rose Bowl on May 20th. Miss Allie McKay, it's all up to you.
Well, Joey wound up winning.
Joey, yay! Joey,
nice.
You won the tickets.
You don't even know how long I've been listening to your show. Since I was in sixth grade, my science teacher would have you guys in class. I have always wanted to tell you guys that.
What a terrible science teacher.
The worst.
I love that. Enjoy you too. Thanks for playing the game.
Thank you.
YouTube
Fan Zones is on.
Bottom sunglasses. One of our favorite guests, author Brad Meltzer, is going to be in studio with us at 8 o'clock, a little bit after 8 o'clock. He has a new book out called I Am Jim Henson. How delightful is he, Allie?
I think he's one of my favorite people ever. Like, the most interesting man in the world has nothing on Brad Meltzer.
Yeah, and a fantastic backstory and history, and he knows so much about so many things. If you don't know the name, trust us on this. You're going to love it. Stick around. Brad's coming up just after 8 o'clock. And while we're talking about people we love, how about the return of Howie Mandel on the Kevin and Bean Show for the first time in 2017? Hey, Howie.
Hey, it's great to be back, guys.
How you been? Happy New Year to you.
It's great. Well, thank you. And it's also great to be filling the time until your favorite guest.
Well, I was worried how that would be perceived.
Coming up at 8 o'clock, we got this amazing guy. But until then,
yes. You are filler, but you're outstanding filler. Your calories I can feel good about consuming, Howie.
I know. People don't know it. I feel like one of those guys at the Academy Awards, at the Golden Globes. People don't know that. They're like a seat filler. And they have these really good-looking people who wear suits so you don't see the empty seats on TV, but it always looks like it's full. It's there.
Right.
I am the guest filler for the Kevin and Bean Show.
Right. But in that category, you're number one.
I know.
Okay.
I just want to reiterate, please, if you're listening in the car or you're a huge fan, you listen every morning, just stay tuned. I'm Howie Mandel, and I'm here just filling time. They have an amazing guest coming up at the 8 o'clock hour.
You said it, my friend. You said it. All right.
No, I know it. I know it. And please, just until then, bear with us. I'm talking and promoting a little show I'm doing, but at 8 o'clock.
Okay, all right.
Even if you don't know this, Meltzer.
People are going to be listening at 8 o'clock.
Even if you don't know him.
Yes.
That was probably the most painful part, wasn't it, Howie? Even if you don't know him.
Even if you don't know him, this is great. But now we have Howie. That's great.
All right. Howie's now my favorite. This
See? Howie's your new favorite. Not only is Howie, of course, on America's Got Talent for 12 seasons now, that show's been on, but he's got two other things that are really worth talking about, and I'm not lying about this when I tell you that I taped it last night. I haven't seen it. You debuted last night on Spike with your new show. You're the executive producer of a show with our friend.
I didn't see it.
Because it was on too late for me.
Right, but you don't have to tell him.
I recorded it.
But you don't have to tell him that.
I'm not going to lie and tell him I saw it.
But you don't have to say you saw it or didn't see
it. What if he asked me a question?
But you... Oh.
Because he was... No, I get it. Because he was up reading, I am
Jim Henson. Exactly. I was reading that instead.
Right.
But Howie...
And that's a long read, Howie.
I'm telling you, this karaoke showdown with our friend Craig Robinson hosting looks fantastic, Howie. I love the idea of this. It looks like so much fun.
It is so much fun, and it is... it's like Cash Cab meets Don't Forget the Lyrics. Thursday night on Spike. Don't miss it. Don't be like him. You know, just
right?
Turn it off.
We tell people that all the time.
He thought it was so good he couldn't stay up to watch it.
Right.
He will. He will.
How?
Don't ask Meltzer. If Meltzer says it's good, it's good.
It's on Thursday nights at 10:30 on Spike.
And it really looks like fun. And I'm telling you what, Craig Robinson is an American.
He's our favorite guest.
He's really one of the best people of all time. I wish he were on the phone right now to talk about the karaoke showdown.
Oh, my God. How do I live up to all these people you love? How can I live up to that? How can I be? Go ahead.
You're also in show business, though, Howie.
Howie, I will tell you this. When your name comes up as being on our show.
When my name comes up, I'll tell you something. Whenever I feel that my ego is becoming inflated, can I call in?
Sure, certainly. We provide that role for most people.
Kevin, you were going to give Howie a compliment.
I was going to say, when your name comes up in the meeting as a possible guest, all of us are an immediate yes.
Yes, we're always excited to talk to you, Howie. Now you can see why.
That's why I'm on the show once every 3 years.
Right.
Exactly. All right. Let's talk about the real reason that you're calling. In addition to the AGT, in addition to the karaoke showdown on Spike, you've got something very special.
In addition to being a placeholder, I have on Monday on the CW at 8 o'clock, Howie Mandel's All-Star Comedy Gala from the Just for Last Festival in Montreal, which is the mecca, the end-all and be-all for anything comedy. Anybody who is in comedy, loves comedy, does comedy at some point in their career or the beginning of their career, they go to the Just for Laughs Festival. And I got to host it this year, and I have a great lineup from Tom Papa to J.B. Smoove to Eliza Schlesinger to Jay Farrow and many, many more. So it's 2 hours of laugh out loud comedy on CW, 8 o'clock Monday.
Why do you suppose, Howie,
can
there
you stay up for that, Bean, was the question.
I might stay up for that.
All right, there you go.
But here's my question.
Yes.
Right, just lie.
Right, come on.
Just lie, Bean.
I can't lie to Howie.
Yes, you can.
I might watch it.
Oh, what's happening? What am I hearing right now?
I don't know. Somebody more important is coming in.
Honestly, I don't know. It sounds like, hold on.
Is it coming through the phone?
It's coming through your phone, Howie.
No, it's not coming through.
Listen. I turn him down, it goes away.
Yeah, it's coming through your phone, Howie. It's the Russians.
Wait.
My phone. I got nothing else on my phone.
It's coming through.
Oh my.
We're telling you, we're not playing anything on this end, Howie. It's coming from your car. Get out.
What's going on?
All right, is it still there?
I don't know. I don't know what Metzger sounds like. What is that?
And it was an absolute blowout.
Been what show are you listening to?
No.
Can we reconnect? Can we reconnect quickly, Howie?
I rewatched.
It really is coming from my phone.
Yes. It is.
Yes.
No joke.
About Pittsburgh sports.
All right, I'm going to hang up, and we're going to call right back.
Okay.
I don't feel like that first half went well.
Let's start again. Say our favorite
guest, right? Uh-huh. And you saw the show last night, and it was hilarious.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
I'm making some notes here.
Good.
Get my story straight.
Right. And
look,
then,
legitimately,
and then Monday night on the CW, you're going to stay out for totally 2 hours watch. And
if
watch the whole show.
Even later than 8.
Right.
I meant no disrespect to Mr. Mandel.
No,
I'm
of course.
I'm a huge fan of his.
Right.
Sure. I hope he didn't interpret it as I was dissing.
No, it came through that way to him clearly.
We're not getting him back.
I don't even know that Dave knows.
He says they are going to call back.
Okay,
so
okay.
Let's just give it a second here.
That was weird.
Yeah,
I don't
all
know
of a sudden I heard Pittsburgh. And then the next part was, it was a blowout. What?
And we were all looking around to see if somebody had a window open on their computer or something, and something was playing somehow on the air, and it wasn't. It
honestly,
was definitely.
But honestly, all of you were looking at me, weren't you?
Absolutely.
Well, like I hit a wrong button or something, right? He's not calling back either.
All right, let's give him another 30 seconds or so. That Brad Meltzer, though, man, he's terrific.
He really is.
So, Bean, let's go through it again.
Okay.
Your favorite guest.
Howie's my favorite guest.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
I watched Karaoke Showdown last night.
I did.
You watched it last night.
In its entirety.
And then you can't wait to watch the Comedy Gala
at
8 o'clock.
All right.
Okay, so let's start again with Howie. He's on the phone. Go.
All right. Howie Mandel is on the phone. By the way, I stayed up extra late last night to watch that Karaoke Showdown on Spike, and it was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't wait till this Monday where I absolutely 100% will stay up for the two-hour special Monday on the CW at 8 o'clock. Howie Mandel, All-Star Comedy Gala. He is, if I can be honest, our favorite guest of all time.
For years.
And he joins us on the phone on K-Rock right now. Hey, Howie, how are you, buddy?
Not too bad. Wow, you are an amazing liar.
We are.
I love the way you lie.
It just took a second for us to reset.
Yeah,
now we're good.
It's a reset.
All right. All right.
What is happening?
I don't know.
No
honestly,
idea.
I don't know. But there were voices coming through your phone. I'm not sure how. It could have been Vladimir Putin. I'm not sure.
I'm worried about that, too. All right. Here's my question for you, Howie, and this is serious, because you've been in comedy for, what, 35, 40 years or something like that. You're this close to being a legend. So here's the question I have for you.
Why does every question has to be an insult? How is it an insult to say he's practically a legend?
He is a legend.
No, yeah.
Right. Period.
I'm calling at the 7:30 hour. No. But the truth is, at one point, I'm going to be lucky enough to be able to call in at the 8 o'clock hour.
It is pretty big.
I know.
But here's my question for you, Howie. Why is there so little stand-up comedy on network television like you are bringing us on Monday night? Because this looks like a great show. I'm wondering why there isn't more programming like this.
You know what? I was going to ask the same question, and then I realized, and then I called into this show, and I realized, we're not loved.
No love, huh?
It's apparent on this morning show. You know what? I don't know why there isn't more stand-up, but you know what? The beauty is that you get a lot of it Monday night on the CW. I can't answer the question for why the networks aren't buying a lot of stand-up, but, you know, Netflix just paid, you know, $60 million, $40 million to Chris Rock, $60 million to, you know, they're buying these huge specials, so maybe it's coming back to TV, but the CW is leading the way. And on Monday night, I think it's just easy, wonderful, you know, mindless watching where you could just sit and giggle.
Well, I hope you're right, because there's nothing funnier than a great comic, and you got some terrific ones on the special. Jay Farrell, Eliza Schlesinger, Russell Peters, JB Smoove, and more. It's Monday night at 8 on the CW. Ladies and gentlemen, he is our favorite guest of all time,
favorite.
The great, legendary Howie Mandel. Thank you for the time, sir.
Okay, I'm going to stay on hold because I don't want to miss this
Messier
guy.
No, I'm sorry. We got to go. It just feels so good. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes till 8.
Did Dave pick that one, by the way? Is it producer's pick? What? How do we get Paramore on the show?
So love good it. To hear Paramore.
Sure is. Mm-hmm.
I love them.
Same.
Nice. Hey, Brad Meltzer's coming up. He's okay, right?
He's the best guest ever.
That's what I heard. I heard the guy on the radio say that a few minutes ago. Howie Mandel seemed to enjoy that sell, didn't he?
Not so much.
It kept getting better, though, the more he would lay into you.
Bean is just smooth.
Oh, I loved it.
I like
Bean knows how to protect people's feelings.
He does.
To make sure they feel welcome.
He's very careful.
That's his specialty.
Well, we'll get right to Mr. Meltzer right after we take
the most, they call
look
him.
At the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph Garvin.
But when he comes in, when what happened?
I don't know. It wasn't me. Oh. I didn't even play that.
That was me. I played it because Chip put it in.
You can't play that. It's
when
me.
He,
I play that.
But when I'm saying when Brad Meltzer comes in, Bean is going to somehow insult him as well. That's the
absolutely.
Magic of Bean.
Yeah. It's a gift.
There we go. That's what we're looking for.
Oh, okay.
Now you play.
Now I do this, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Before I get to the news, let me give you something. We're doing an advanced K-Rock screening of the movie Split.
Yay!
On January 17th, you've probably seen the trailers by now, story of a psychotic man with 23 different distinct personalities who kidnaps three girls, holds them hostage, and the bad news is 24 is coming. The 24th personality is coming, and you don't want that.
Mm-mm.
Because, spoilers, the guy shows up and he goes, "You're pretty." And then he makes him drink expired chocolate milk, and then he won't shut up about the post office.
Wait a minute.
That's awesome.
Was it Bean?
Wait a minute.
Have you heard Taylor Swift's new song? Silence. It's delightful, he says to the girls in the cell. And it's a nightmare. That from David Romero, who wrote that pitch, by the way. He said he knows what the secret twist is to
is that right?
That was from a listener. Yeah, I appreciate that. So anyway, if you'd like to see Split at the Krikorian Buena Park Metroplex, why don't you give us a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers through with that phone number get a pair of tickets to see our K-Rock Advance screening of Split. Sad news. William Peter Blatty has passed away at the age of 89. Just got word from William Friedkin. Peter Blatty, of course, was the writer, Kevin, of?
The Three Musketeers.
No, that is not true. That was Alexander Dumas.
But of course.
William Peter Blatty.
Ghostwriter. He was a ghostwriter, though.
William Peter Blatty wrote The Exorcist.
Right.
Wrote
as well.
The novel and the screenplay of that classic 1973 horror film. Very talented guy. Worked for years, by the way, in show business before he made his mark with The Exorcist. Was an often collaborated with Blake Edwards. Wrote one of the Pink Panther movies
really?
With
That's
him.
Very different.
Yeah, very different. And he wrote a lot of stuff, but he was best known for his thrillers and his horror stories, of course. And The Exorcist, not only one of the great horror films of all time, but one of the great films of all time. He passed away at the age of 89. One of the great theme songs of all time, too.
Yeah, that's right? Awesome.
Tubular Bells. Speaking of death, you know the story, right?
Can you give us more details to go off of?
Well, I was going to get there. Of the day the music died. February 3rd, 1959, that plane crash. You had Buddy Holly, right? You had the Big Bopper.
Right.
And who else, Kevin? Who else was in that plane?
Squishy Ted.
Squishy Ted did not get on that plane.
Oh, he's lucky.
It was Richie Valens. La Bamba's Valens, right?
Richie Valens.
Those three passed away. You may not know this, but Richie Valens had to flip a coin to get on that flight with Buddy Holly's guitarist named Tommy Alsop. They both wanted to go on the plane to the next gig rather than take the bus, so they flipped a coin, and the winner would get the seat on the plane, and Richie Valens won the coin flip.
And you'd say that's a win?
Well, at the time, it seemed.
Right.
But in retrospect, probably not. Well, Tommy Alsop passed away at the age of 85 this week after complications from a hernia operation.
Oh, no.
So finally, boom, sucker, you got yours, right?
I don't think that's
what we're saying.
That's not what anyone
boom,
is saying.
Boom, karmic backlash.
Nope.
La Bamba this, bitch. That's what we're saying, right?
I don't think so.
Oh, I might have misunderstood the story there, but.
And by the way, in contrast to Richie Valens, who got that, see, you know how old he was when that plane went down and he died?
Oh, early 20s.
17.
17.
Yeah.
So really?
You just throw stuff that's, out there, Allie, with
super early 20s.
But I don't know.
That
I know.
Is the earliest 20s I know of.
Well, I know when he was in high school and wrote O'Donna and all that, but right. I assumed he had gotten a little older.
Yeah, he was 17
did
when
you
he died.
You expected him to get
Are
older?
Are you sure?
I am sure.
Not my Richie.
It this might is... be best if you just let it go. Okay.
Why don't you flip a coin, Allie, with him and see?
But remember La Bamba when goes. They flip the coin, then it goes in slow motion. It just lands there on the snow. Remember that? That might not.
Oh, it too
did.
Bad.
Did your mic fail?
We're having technical difficulties with your microphone.
Weird.
Sorry
weird timing.
About that.
That's strange.
Yeah, that's strange.
Bizarre.
R.I.P. Carlos.
R.I.P. Richie. Tonight at the Improv on Melrose, Kevin Smith and I take the stage once again with Hollywood Babylon. We'd love to have you come join us 10 p.m. tonight at the Improv on Melrose. Go to improv.com to get your tickets for tonight.
Sounds bad when you say it like that.
Oh, it's going to be good. Liam Hemsworth, 27 years old today. Our friend comedian Brad Williams is 33. Are you getting any pictures in your email box, Bean? I was just wondering about any photographs you might be getting at BeanKrock.com.
Look, Bean finds this kind of thing very funny.
I know he does.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny that Brad put on Twitter, Brad Williams said, it's my birthday. For my present, I'd like nothing more than penis pictures. Please send it to me at my email address, bean@krock.com, he tweeted.
Fortunately, I think people could tell he was joking about that, and nobody followed through. So,
but he's not joking about that. That is his new email address.
Oh, really? We share an email address now.
He really would like the photos.
Yes, so as many as you can send.
Make sure you take care of that.
Right.
Orlando?
That's
Orlando Loom would be a cool name to have. Orlando. Like an explosion in your mouth.
We have to start doing things that just make us look like we've got our act together here, right? Because we're all looking just really, really, really sloppy.
All right, sorry.
So true.
Orlando Bloom is 40. Michael Pena celebrates his 41st birthday. Patrick Dempsey is 51. And the funniest woman on television, my personal hero, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, turns 56 years old today. Happy birthday to the Veep. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Every time our next guest leaves the Kevin and Bean Show, we can't wait for his return, and we are happy to say today is the day. Mr. Brad Meltzer is in studio, number one New York Times bestselling author. Welcome back, sir. How are you? Happy New Year.
Happy, healthy New Year to you. I missed you guys. I'm in face-to-face.
Now, you live in New York, right?
No, Florida. I'm from New York and now live in Florida, which is where every old Jew goes eventually from New York to Florida.
Well, we appreciate when you are in Southern California that you make some time to stop by and see us, and you were here for a number of events this week celebrating the release of your new book, the 11th book in the Ordinary People Changed the World series. It just came out this past Tuesday, and anyone with little kids knows this series by now, but why don't you describe for those who don't what it's all about, Brad?
Yeah, sure. You know, I write mysteries and thrillers, and I murder people on a daily basis, which is fun.
For real or just?
Both, I see, you know, okay. Naturally. Right. And the reality was I had my own kids, and reality TV show stars and people who are famous for being famous, our kids are being fed garbage through their eyes every day. With every refresh, all of us are being fed garbage. And I just said, you know what? It's
we
enough.
Create a lot
right.
of that
and that's okay. And so do I, right? I mean, but I said, you know what? I can do better for them. I can give them better heroes than what they see, than a reality TV show star. And so we started with I'm Amelia Earhart and I'm Abraham Lincoln and launched a line of nonfiction picture book series that tell biographies of great people who they really should look up to.
For what age are you writing these books?
And, you know, the funny thing is for reading levels, it's usually, you know, about 5 years, 4 years old to about 10 years old. But we are like the number one baby gift that people buy now because – you know, when my son loves baseball, I did I Am Jackie Robinson for him. My daughter loves Lucille Ball. I did I Am Lucille Ball for her. And she loves our dog. She loves animals. So I did I Am Jane Goodall for her. And we did George Washington. We've done Abraham Lincoln. We've done Amelia Earhart.
You're making the rest of us that are parents look like slackers.
Well, that's it. If you don't write a line of books for your kids, it's like the child services comes. But then my youngest son is a creator. He loves to color. He loves art. And I said, I got to get a creator for him.
And that's how I Am Rob Kardashian came about.
That's exactly right. And then we decided and settled on I Am Jim Henson, the creator of the Muppets.
Did you ever meet Mr. Henson?
No, although last night here in L.A., we did an event with his daughter, and in New York we did it with his other daughter, had the events, and they really helped with the book as we were putting it together because you can – you know, there's not many books written on Henson. There's a great biography by Brian J. Jones, but my to have the family weigh in is bananas.
Why are there not a lot of books about him?
I don't know. I feel like there should be more. But in fact, one of the reviews said that I Am Jim Henson is the best biography written about Jim Henson. It's written for kids, but we pour our souls into it. And the family helped us correct all these details that no one had. And I also got to ask his daughter the question that was really at the top of my mind, which was, if my dad had access to Frank Oz and Yoda, I was like, please tell me, did you steal a Yoda? Like, I need to know. Like, that's my – before we get on with the biography for us, I need to know, do you have Yoda?
And what was her answer?
She did not, but she did have a Kermit. No, I would have taken a Fozzie too, but in fact,
waka, waka.
She had a Kermit's little nephew, Robin, the little tiny little frog.
Oh, that's a deep dive into the Muppets.
I only mentioned that to see who is the super nerd in the group, and none of you nodded and took that bait, which I'm really disappointed at. Because I can tell you, starstruck is a word, especially here in L.A. We all know what starstruck is, but the feeling that you only have it with like that super level person, you know, like you meet a president and you're starstruck.
Sure.
Because you're just the whole time you're talking, all you're thinking is you're the president, you're the president. But the only time I really hit starstruck for the first time is I got to go down to Sesame Street and I walk in the door and there's Grover and Big Bird. And I'm like, be cool, baby. Be cool. Just be cool, right? And then they said to me, who do you want to see now?
Do you call yourself baby?
Yeah, no. In my internal monologue, it's okay. Baby and kiddo.
Okay.
And, I could have done better than kiddo. It's a PG show we're going to do today. Right. So I go in there, and they're like, who do you want now? And I'm like, if it's an offer, I'm like, I want Ernie. I want Bert. I want Grover. I want Cookie. I want, you know, Oscar. And then at one point, my daughter has Grover on one hand, and my son and I are working Snuffleupagus. Like, I've got Snuffleupagus' eyes, and literally,
are
it
we
was
still talking about the same thing.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Does that sound like a euphemism?
Yeah, I was going to. Snuffleupagus is a drug code these days.
All right, continue.
No, and that was it. No, the point is like that to me was the moment of starstruck, because what Jim Henson stands for me when I was putting this book together, you know. Listen, the Muppets and Sesame Street, they're nostalgia. But just because it was old doesn't mean it's good. And nostalgia is a trap. We all know that, right?
Right,
you make
right.
these old things and it doesn't mean they're great. But the heart of the Muppets and why I love them is when I really took that deep dive into I Am Jim Henson is what he stands for. And, you know, goodness and kindness and creating and believing and pretending, those are ideas we should never outgrow. I will never apologize for being a do-gooder. And that's what I Am Jim Henson as a book for me is to show my kids, especially today. Think of what we do today to each other. We played for the last, you know, 2 years a wonderful game. It's a horrible game. It's called Us Versus Them mm-hmm. in politics, right?
Yeah.
We rip each other's throats apart. And I was like, what I love is that when we did this book, I've gone in this, you know, in the past 2 days, I've gone from like NPR to like the Fox conservative. I had this guy who came on and said to me, he's like, looks like the cigar-chomping like congressman out of an old movie. And we're going on. He's like the staunch Republican guy. And, you know, I think it's going to be a serious interview. And he leans over to me just as the TV light's about to come on. And he says, want to hear my Kermit? And I'm like, oh, my gosh. And I love the
is
idea.
Is that code? Or?
Yeah, it was drug code also.
Oh, Kevin, don't sully this conversation.
No, that's right. You crossed the line on the Muppets, right?
How dare you?
That's the thing, right? He's sacrosanct, right? That's the thing is everyone for Jim Henson is like, no, you can't. Because we know that somehow he stands for something good.
Right.
And I love that we get to, you know, Jim Henson, when I was 5 years old, taught me that you could use your creativity when I watched Sesame Street to put good into the world. And now, here I am all these years later just trying to do exactly that, use my creativity to try and put good in the world.
Let me ask you this, Brett, and I'm intimidated a little bit because you're so eloquent, and I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to get this question out properly. But a guy like you who's been able to figure out a way to use your creativity and put good things into the world, Jim Henson did the same thing. That seems like an abstract thing to try to teach a little kid.
Yeah.
Is it a tough lesson to learn? Like, it's easy to look at Abraham Lincoln and see him as a hero and as a role model. It seems like it would be harder with somebody like Jim Henson.
You know what? It's a great question because here's why. Is when I did I Am Abraham Lincoln, it was our first book we did. And if I tell my kids that Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves, my kids have no reference point for that. They don't even understand. Like, who cares? They don't understand. But I found this story about Abraham Lincoln, and it's a true story. When he was 12 years old, he loved animals, and he found a group of boys who were playing with turtles.
Kevin, God damn you to hell.
Uh-uh.
We're going to make you leave.
What?
He was,
I swear to
you.
He was a boy.
Out.
All
right. All right, go ahead. Sorry, Brad.
So he's 12 years old. It was also – I had even more evil music that I played in my head right before you hit that. So he's 12 years old. Abraham Lincoln loves animals. He goes to see he sees a group of boys playing with turtles. And as he goes up, he races. He's all excited to go in, and he goes up to the boys. He thinks they're playing with it. They're not. What they're doing is they're putting hot coals on the backs of the turtles, torturing the turtles.
Oh.
And I don't care if you're 12 years old or you're 40 years old. Sometimes it's hard to do the right thing. But someone has to. And Abraham Lincoln in that moment as a kid says, take the coal off the turtle, save the turtles. And my son loves Abraham Lincoln today because of that story, and that cracked the code for me. To like get to your point, you can't just tell your kid be good. You got to show him the story and show him how. My kid sleeps with an Abraham Lincoln doll that someone made me from I Am Abraham Lincoln because he now loves him. And so with Jim Henson, you can't just say, hey, Kermit's cute, which kids know that he is. But this, one of my favorite stories in there is that when Jim Henson was little, the first job he wanted to be in television. So he goes to his local TV stations. They all reject him one after the other. He's devastated and heartbroken. And he sees a sign that he finds looking for jobs that says, we're looking for a puppeteer. So Jim Henson goes to the library, takes out a book on puppetry, goes back to the exact same station that rejected him and says, I'm a puppeteer, will you hire me? And I want my kids to know that if there's a roadblock in your way, you go around it. If there's an obstacle there, you go around it. And my kids know that Jim Henson, Kermit just doesn't magically happen. Creativity doesn't magically happen. It comes from one thing and one thing only, hard work. And now I get to show my kids that if you want to do these things, here's how. And I realized that only by showing these famous people when they're young can kids now relate. And suddenly, these aren't the stories of famous people. This is what we're all capable of on our very best days. And that's where the whole I Am series is built upon, just that idea.
Right?
Right? Seriously.
I'm the only one applauding, but I think we're all feeling the sentiment here, Brad.
No,
that's beautifully put.
All right, soul's in these pages.
The book is called I Am Jim Henson. It's available in bookstores and online, wherever books are bought, and you should get it. And more with our guest, Brad Meltzer, right after this on K-Rock. Author Brad Meltzer in studio with us here on The Kevin and Bean Show. This is what I love, by the way, is we have you in the day after we could have helped you have people show up at your in-store last night to get signed copies of your book.
Oh, stop. No, first of all, just being here, if I would have done that, we have a phoner. I don't get to see you. We have no hugs. And, you know, as the Jews, we love to hug, right? We bring food and we love to hug, and that, we can't do any of that.
We're talking about, among other things, with Brad, his latest book in his I Am series, biographies for kids of heroes. I Am Jim Henson is the latest book, and you've done, as you mentioned, Rosa Parks and Lucille Ball and Helen Keller, Martin Luther King, a bunch of others. Do we need history to be able to know who the heroes are, or can you look around in the 21st century and see people that are doing this kind of heroic work? And the reason I ask that is I think when Mother Teresa was alive, you could have said, oh, maybe she'd be a good person. When Gandhi was alive, you could have seen what he was doing was extraordinary. But a lot of times it seems like we don't know it at the time, right?
Yeah, I mean, that is our problem, right? Is we can't even, you know, we can't remember our own history, much less realize that it's happening every single day. History isn't something that goes into the past, right? All the things that haven't happened yet, that's history waiting to be written. And if you think about that, you change the view of your life. And for me, there are, of course, people that are around. And we see whether it's Jane Goodall, who's, you know, one of the living amazing people now. But what I think is so important is if you teach kids that these people were young like them at some point, they were scared like them. Anyone you admire in your life was scared at some point, was nervous at some point, and did something beyond them. Because what heroes are is they're mirrors. That's all a hero is a mirror. And your heroes, they don't just reflect you. They reveal you.
That's my favorite thing that you said, because I never thought about it that way. And if your hero is, you know,
pick who it is. You say it's some reality TV show. You've revealed yourself to me.
Absolutely.
Right? And, like, yeah. Think of Donald Trump right now, right? Like, half America hates him, half America loves him.
Wrong.
But whatever side you're on, right, it reveals you.
Right.
It shows something about you. And that's not a bad thing. That's what we're supposed to do. So you might as well – your kids are going to pick heroes, whether you like it or not. You might as well have some say in it. And for us, here's the thing that I love the most about – that I've seen with this series for us is in the weeks leading up to the election – we saw a little spike that started going up in sales of the I Am books. And we're like, oh, that's interesting. But then it started – I'm not talking about a little bump. We were up the month before the election, as the election approached, I should say, 91% from the year before.
Oh, my gosh.
Which in publishing, we're like, what's going on? The week of the election – this was bananas. The week of the election, two books jumped up more than any others. I Am Martin Luther King Jr. and I Am Rosa Parks. And it wasn't a Democrat thing or Republican thing. It was that families were out there saying, I'm tired of politicians. I don't want to show my kids politicians anymore. I want to show my kid what a leader is. And they have I Am Martin Luther King Jr. and Rosa Parks to do that. And I love – in fact, since Donald Trump's been elected, we are up 100% in sales from the year before, because people are tired of watching us rip each other apart, being ruthless. And this is our goal, is to help you. It's never been about, here, go buy I Am Jim Henson or go buy I Am Martin Luther King Jr. It's been to help you build a library of real heroes for your kids and your grandkids.
Because a thing like that should have never been written, and it should certainly never have been released.
Oh, I'm sorry. It sounds like the president-elect is against that.
Yeah.
I remember when we had you in for one of your previous books that involved the presidency. It might have been a novel you wrote. You told us you'd met a lot of the presidents, right? You've been to the White House, right? You've met
presidents? I have. I've met everyone from Bush Sr. to our current new one. I've met them.
How have you met Donald Trump?
Okay, so my wife used to work for Donald Trump's sister is a brilliant judge who's not a conservative. You know, she's completely like – she's a amazing, amazing woman, and hired my wife out of law school. And so we literally met Trump a couple times over the years.
His sister was invisible during the campaign of her own brother running for president.
You saw that I said she's a very smart woman.
right? And I wondered if that's just because her position requires her to be apolitical, no matter who's,
well, she,
you know, even if it's her family.
She knows that her brother, if she says anything, is going to say some. My sister says this, and then she's off. She can't hear it in a case. She can't do anything.
That makes sense.
I mean, she's a wonderful, amazing woman who knew and knows her brother. I'll just say it like this. Knows exactly who her brother is.
When you met him in person, did you see the star power and the charisma? Does that come across?
Listen, sometimes reality TV actually shows you reality, right? What you see is exactly what you think. And it's he's a guy who surrounds himself by a lot of people who tell him that he's great. Make your own decisions on it, right? I mean, that to me, and every president is meeting kind of their own universe. They are truly their own universe. In other words,
every president is a sun, and he surrounds himself with whatever planets he wants.
That's right. And the smart ones, listen, every president has one thing in common, and they all go to Washington, and they have all this staff, and you can see it right now, but they all bring one person who's there to watch everyone with the knives. They bring one person who they know forever. So, Obama bought his friends from Chicago. Clinton bought his friend from Arkansas, Bruce Lindsay. Bush brought, his old buddy. They all bring – so what I always like to think is, like, think in your head right now, all of us get to be president. Who's the one person you bring that knows – and they know all your stuff. You bring the boy or girl who knows all your crap and still would never tell it, and that's who you bring with you. And I'm most fascinated by that person. That was the person I'd always wanted to interview for the books, because that person knows where the bodies are.
So but wouldn't tell you.
No, that's why they're that person, right? That's exactly why. And Trump, every person in the Trump administration, in the Obama administration, if you're in Washington, every person who works in the White House on some level, if you're committed to a giant man of a president, just like LA, it's a similar town in Washington, we all has daddy issues, right? Has something that they need this hole in their life to be filled with this bigger than life man. And those people are always looking to help themselves, not necessarily the candidate or the president. And as a result, you need someone to watch and make sure that someone doesn't come and pull a Caesar on you.
Do you know who the person is in the incoming administration?
I have an eye on a couple, but I want to see.
Probably
I think right
Omarosa,
now
though, right?
Right now, I mean, I think what he's—it's a weird thing because he's doing with his daughter. That's who I feel like he kind of trusts right now. I think the weird thing is, it's like that actually scares me, because if you don't bring a friend, it begs the question of, like, do you have that friend?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's what scares me more. Like, I know who my friend is that I would bring. Like, we all know in our heads who that person is. But you don't see that, like, childhood friend who's been forever. Maybe that person will show up. But that's what worries me, because you want someone who has that empathy of, when they were little to now, can keep one person in their life.
Brad, about the man or woman who chooses to run for president, how much of that is, I really think I can help the country and want to, and how much of that is I have a thirst for power?
All right, we need to take a break.
I'm asking the smart man a question.
The smart man can think of his answer.
Okay.
And we'll take a break. Can you stick around for one more?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Our final segment with our guest, Brad Meltzer, in studio with us now on The Kevin and Bean Show, New York Times bestselling author of how many books, Brad? How many you got behind you right now?
11 of the I Am books, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but 25 total. But I don't write them anymore. It's like kids in Nicaragua just do it now.
Right. Before the break, I was asking you a question that, as usual, I phrased very badly. But I was thinking about this a lot. Over the Christmas break, I read the wonderful new Ulysses S. Grant biography by Ronald T.
White. I heard really good things about that book.
It's phenomenal. And what I was struck by, besides the fact that he was a great president and a great general, is that he was filled with insecurities, did not think he was the right man for the job, did not think he could do what needed to be done, but his sense of duty was so strong that he felt like he had to. It was his calling to do the right thing, because he saw things in the country that he could not abide by. And it seems, and maybe this is the benefit of just history, it just seems so different from the politicians that don't seem like statesmen anymore that we see so often on our TV. And I was asking you, what about those men and women who are running for president right now? Is it just my impression, or are they really running more out of ego and a thirst for power than they are for the need for public service?
Well, I think part of the reason that we think that happens is that the system itself of how we elect a president chases away the true moral person, because it's such a corrupt system, and people are like, I don't want to put myself and my family through that. A good person would say, oh, I have little kids. I'm not going to put my kids through that. A good person would say, you know what? I don't need the power. I'm going to make social change in a different way. And so when the system is set up to totally rip you apart and rip, you know, your skin from your bones and leave nothing left by the time you get there, when that's the kind of the gamut you have to go through to get there, it's taken an all these amazing people out and leaving you just with people who their thirst must be so great that they're willing to run that gamut. And that's the problem. But at the core of the presidency, because you asked a complex question, so let me give you the other side of what you said before the break, is that these people, of course, have that level of I want power. They, of course, also hopefully have some level of I want to do well. I truly believe that everyone that runs does want to do well. They may not have the self-awareness to realize that they're not going to, or they really don't mean that, or they're doing it for power. But what makes a great president is not, you know, their ability to, I want to do well or I want to be liked, because we all are that. Our presidents are always us, right? That's what our government is. It's made up of us. We the people is not just a cool catchphrase. At the end of the day, what it matters when you're president is what kind of person you are and can you compromise to get to the better good. So as an example, Thomas Jefferson doesn't want this big giant country. He's actually pretty much kind of like, you know, more isolationist. But here comes, you know, the Louisiana Purchase and they're like, hey, man, look what we got. You want it? And he's like, you know what? I didn't run on that, but that's good for the country. And so I want that. And that to me is what greatness is a person who can look and see for the better of the country, am I doing something? And to me, that's what you have to look at. Because anyone that runs through it is a little bit of an egomaniac just to be there.
So is democracy broken then if we are where you describe, which is we're eliminating most of the good people who should be running for president?
Listen, I don't think it's not broken, because the reason we're here is because it's proof that democracy works. You may not agree with it, but it does work. The only question is, and I do think what is broken is I think that the financial system is broken. I mean, I think when you have wealthy people and money being so funneled into the system, the worst thing that happened is that Citizens United case in the Supreme Court that just says unlimited funding from – you don't have to say what your name is. You don't have to say where you're from, and we can buy whatever we want. It, you know, it's literally like we're putting, you know, the White House and there's a price tag on it, and if you can just pay it, you can get it, or at least to get there, to get to the end, you can do it. But again, the one thing I know about the United States is when we are at our worst, we're soon to be at our best. And that is my faith in the system.
Is that because people wake up?
People wake up and they've had it. And that's how it always is, right? Mm-hmm. When I was researching one of my thrillers, a guy in Congress said to me, there's a sign up right outside the I think it's the Senate or the House. I forget which one it is. And it's a quote. And I'll mess up the quote, but basically what it says is, you know, this system, the way it's designed is that it's going to fail, that it's going to be hard to make change. And that's not we always say that's a bad thing. You know, the system's so hard, we can't make anything good or anything bad. That's the point.
Gridlock is built in?
The founding fathers want the system to be hard to change. Why? Because it prevents one person coming in and screwing it all up. Because you know what that's called? That's called a king. So what we do is we have a system that the checks and balances of the Supreme Court and the presidency and the Congress are there to make it super hard. And Obama, when you know, was once said, and I love this metaphor, is, you know, he's like, everyone wants me to make this big change, right? This change is coming. This change is going to be good. But he's like, you can't steer the ship 90 degrees. You can't turn it 45 degrees. He's like, I can turn it 5. I can turn it 10. But like, that's on by design, so no one can screw it up that bad. We'll now find out how true that statement is in the next
couple
of months.
Last topic, because you have been involved a lot with national security. You've
tell us who you consult for.
I got a call one day asking me to come in. It was the Department of Homeland Security. And they asked me to come in and brainstorm different ways that terrorists could attack the United States. And my first thought was, if they're calling me, we have bigger problems than anybody thinks, right? Like, I was like, we're screwed if they're calling me. And this was after 9/11. Like, this is when you need, like, good – and they brought me in. They would pair me with a Secret Service agent and a chemist. They would give us a city like Los Angeles, and they would say, destroy it. And
they wanted your writer's imagination.
Wow.
That's what it was.
Listen, when you have a group of people who takes planes and turns them into missiles to crash into buildings, you have to think outside the box. So they organize what they call the Red Cell Program. And the Red Cell Program brings together out-of-the-box thinkers, which is code for crazy people. And they brought me in. They brought some directors that I know they brought in, a lot of thriller writers they brought in. And I would come up with my craziest idea. And then they would pair me with the Secret Service agent who would say to me, no, 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 this is the better flaw in security. Let's use this. And the chemist would say, don't use that. This chemical will dissipate less quickly in the air. And by the time we were done, a city like Los Angeles, we would straight in an hour. And you don't go home feeling good. You go home terrified. And the craziest part of it was you know, you go and you have your day and you're like, okay, that was just a cute little exercise. But then they started emailing me and asking me on different days, what would you do today on this? And it would be a big famous event that would be going on that weekend. And I would get a, you know, an email on like Wednesday or Thursday, and they'd be like, what would you do here? And I'm like, do you know something I don't know about this event?
Yeah, how about give me a heads up?
If my family's there, I'm going to call them and tell them not to be there.
Right.
And that was the creepier part, is I was getting these phone calls about these big moments in, you know, that year. And it was an amazing thing to be a part of.
At some point, do you think I need to stop this because I'm losing my sanity?
No, no, no. That, I mean,
that's not at all.
No, no, no. To me, that was, again, this was after 9/11. If you tell me that monkeys at typewriters are going to keep people safe, I want to see a line item in the budget for monkeys and typewriters.
Right.
I just was the monkey. Right? Like, I was like, if you think picking around my brain and coming up with crazy ass stuff is going to help you in any way, I am honored to be here. I lost my friend Michelle Heidenberger in 9/11. She was a flight attendant on the Pentagon flight. Like, I was like, sign me up. I'm in. And I love that stuff.
All right. Last question, Brad. How disastrous is it to have a president who does not listen to national security?
Yeah, that, you know, so here's the thing. I know someone who was there when one of the presidents got their first briefing, and they were there right on the, you know, right, the big first briefing. And he said to me, I'll never forget.
So this was a president-elect.
This was a president, right. Okay. And basically said, when you worked on the campaign before they got there, and said that when you get your first briefing, that as the president, you suddenly look at the world in a very different way because you see things that you never knew were happening before. And if you go look back at the New York Times picture of Donald Trump after the two-hour briefing, and he looks he's rattled. He looks he is totally like he was on a bender last night, because he was just like, and you know, here's a guy who was like, I'm not listening. Everything's wrong. The Russians aren't hacking. He comes out of that briefing and he's like, okay, they were probably what they presented to him was a 2-hour telling of here's how the world really works. And I remember when I was doing one of my books, a guy in military intelligence, I asked him where do we get the best intelligence? And he said, you have no idea who's working for us. He said, you told me, and I think I told you the story, that there was a dictator that everyone hated and thought was an awful guy. He was actually secretly working for the United States. He was on our side. So imagine a big dictator we hate was really working for us because one of his top lieutenants had a sick kid. And the kid needed the kind of medical help that only the United States could offer. And so to save this kid, this dictator was selling us info. So Donald Trump in that day is getting this briefing and saying, here's who's really working for us that you hate. And here's who's on our side that you didn't know.
Wow.
And here's what people that you didn't even realize and what operations that are running. And man, you get – that's what ages you, right?
Yeah.
It's not just that, you know, the press is rough. You know, the local stuff is rough. It's hard to be hated every day. But it's the stuff that you can't tell anyone that's mind-blowing that I think, you know, makes you age in dog years there.
Well, I hate that we have to leave it there, because this is such a fascinating talk, Brad. But congratulations on the success of the new book, I Am Jim Henson. It sounds wonderful. I'm sure Ralph told you in the other room that his little daughter Olivia is just loving them all.
Yeah, no, I asked him,
and
which,
you hear
one,
that
I said, which one do you want? And he's like, we have them all. And I said, that is to me the sign of good parenting, right? If you don't buy all the books for your kids, your kids will not turn out that well. But if you do, then like Ralph's kids, everyone's going to Harvard.
That's a dubious claim, but you're smarter
than
me.
But I love that you mentioned that this is the number one baby gift in America right now, which is great
crazy
to put that out there.
You know, it's funny to me, but again, build your library. And you know, you don't have to use my books. Like, give your kids the heroes that, you know, you want for them, because you can't just tell your kid to be good and expect them to be good. You got to give them stories. So give them your heroes. Reveal yourself to your kids.
BradMeltzer.com is the website, on Twitter at Brad Meltzer. Thank you, sir.
Love you guys. Thanks.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
So we're done with all the smart talk now? Now it's just us?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Now it's just dumb guys talking?
Yeah.
All right. That's
this
disappointing.
Is a dumb guys talking part of the show.
That's disappointing. brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup coming up right after the top of the hour. This, Allie, did you watch the one of the lady in Australia dressing down her guest on television?
I
was fascinated by their dynamic. I looked them both up on Twitter. I wanted to get a better look into who they both were.
Allie does deep dives.
I have a lot of thoughts about that video is all
it
I'm saying.
Is, oh, it's a conspiracy of some kind?
No, not at all. Okay. It's totally real because I've worked with many women like the woman in the middle of that whole thing.
I can't wait to play this audio because it is so uncomfortable. It's so uncomfortable.
So that's coming up right after the top of the hour. First, Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat.
Sad news. William Peter Blatty has passed away. He was a very talented writer, wrote a ton of screenplays throughout the 50s and 60s, but really made his name when he wrote a novel called The Exorcist. And then he took that novel and he adapted his own book to the screenplay and created a film from 1973 called The Exorcist, directed by William Friedkin. The Exorcist was the first horror movie ever nominated for Best Film for an Oscar. And...
keep it going or no? What's happening?
That wasn't me. That was just some sort of technical
drop.
Sorry.
Devil.
That wasn't me at all.
Demon.
It's a demon.
A demon.
Reagan.
We are talking about The Exorcist.
William Peter Blatty won the Oscar for his screenplay for The Exorcist. I'm telling you, it's possessed. It's ghosts, Allie.
Seriously?
Devil ghosts.
That is weird.
The devil's doing it.
How was the...
I'll still need his head around.
My head just went all the way around.
360 degrees.
Your mother so smocks that smell.
Ralph, how was the remake of The Exorcist a few years ago?
Sucked.
How was that? Oh, was it not good? Okay.
And they made a second Exorcist that also sucked. And then the third one, based on Blatty's sequel novel, The Exorcist Legion, the third Legion, he wrote and directed as well, was really good.
Huh.
But everything else that ever was Exorcist he wasn't involved with sucked.
And, of course, there's a current TV show on the air right now about The Exorcist.
My father showed me The Exorcist when I was about 8 or 9.
All right. Sounds like good parenting.
And then
the opposite of the Brad Meltzer method.
It's worse. And I was
here, watch this, honey.
I was so afraid to go use the bathroom because obviously something could happen in there. My dad was so kind, waited outside the bathroom for me.
Yeah.
Except he hid. He hid, and I thought my dad was taken, and then he jumped out from behind a bed. That is the worst.
This is why Allie's so obsessed with murder.
Why is there a bed in a bathroom where
it's
you're going
in
the theater?
He was waiting out. No, this was at home. He rented that movie
and
to watch
it. At home.
That's awful.
I think he hated you.
Yeah.
I think he legitimately thought it was going to be funny, and I was scarred for life.
Who shows an 8-year-old The Exorcist?
That's the question.
Listen,
one, right
I grew
there.
Up on Fawlty Towers, Benny Hill, everything.
That's different. Like, Fawlty Towers and Benny Hill doesn't involve Satan and a young girl being possessed by a demon and doing herself with a crucifix.
Oh, I didn't see that. Really?
Yeah, you did. If you saw The Exorcist,
you need to rewatch
it. It's a crucifix.
It.
And this is going on.
Maybe I saw a different version.
Maybe you saw the cartoon, the Disney cartoon, The Exorcist.
That's the best version of it.
Reagan just falls asleep in the woods with a bunch of dwarves in a house with talking deer. You're the worst.
You're the worst.
Our listener Edwin wrote in and said, talking to Allie's like the opposite of Google. You know, you have Google and you can get true information within seconds. With Allie, you get misinformation that just lingers on and on and
on.
What
have I been wrong about?
Richie Valens.
17. Died at 17.
You said he was in his early 20s when he died.
He was.
No, he wasn't. Yeah. He was 17.
Same thing.
Not the same thing.
I'm with Edwin.
You didn't know about the scene from The Exorcist, the movie we're talking about?
Yeah, I don't remember that. That sounds like a bad parenting move.
Anyway, William Peter Blatty passed away at the age of 89.
I'm glad he didn't have to hear this.
Me too. He's lucky to be dead. The dead are the lucky ones today.
Right? This conversation would have killed him.
And in a different kind of movie, Anna Kendrick reportedly is going to star in a new film about a female Santa Claus.
Bwah, bwah.
See what they did there? They changed it up, man.
Now
Santa's
that,
a girl. Boom!
How is that better, though?
Cause, man.
I don't know, but she's great, I
turning
think.
It on its head.
Novel!
The movie will be called Nicole. Probably Saint Nicole by the time it's all said and done, yo. And she plays Santa's daughter. And when Santa retires and her brother gets a cold, she has to take over Christmas.
Okay, all
and
right.
deliver all the toys.
And this is animated, I hope?
Nope.
Okay.
Live action.
All right.
Boom! Gender reverse
missile. Boom.
I think you're possessed.
Some people tune out.
I'm just looking at
you. Yeah, you're staring at me with demon eyes.
You do have demon eyes.
Yeah. There's a bunch of flies around, too. Have you noticed? It's like Amityville Horror in here all of a sudden.
The power of Christ compels you. The Father of Christ compels you.
I remember that part.
Remember that part?
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, the best. Is 56 years old today. What happened?
Just keep going.
Why are you making noises?
Just keep going.
Holly, what's wrong?
What's wrong with her?
See, I don't think we have that kind of time.
She's going to vomit pea
soup? No. I'm just listening.
Patrick Dempsey's 51 years old today. Michael Pena is 41. Orlando Bloom turns 40. Our buddy Brad Williams, diminutive comedian Brad Williams, is 33 years old today. And Liam Hemsworth celebrates his 27th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
We've done the grand prize drawing. All week we've been giving you tickets for the Clippers versus the Thunder. You get two tickets to see that game at Staples Center on January 16th. The grand prize winner is Holly Baez from Santa Clarita. She gets access to pregame warm-ups. She gets pregame photos on the court, Lexus Club passes, and parking.
Holy moly.
Nice.
So that's pretty strong. And you can also vote for the NBA All-Stars. If you'd like to go to clippers.com/all-star, send your favorite Clippers to the All-Star game. DeAndre Jordan, Blake Griffin, Chris Paul are all nominated. Must use hashtag NBA vote with each player's name to vote on Twitter and Facebook. You can do that through January 16th.
How come you and Dave, you being the Lakers fan, Dave, hardcore Clippers fan, how come you guys don't make wagers on the games that they play against each other anymore?
Because I'm smart.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's tomorrow night. I guess no wagers happening, huh? Hey, guys, thanks a lot for tuning into the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Friday. It's time for a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean, they have a great show, but they do something there that you might not.
Thank you, Linda. It's a great batch this time around. Kevin, there's one that we put in the roundup specifically for you and people like you, and it is in honor of America's Funniest Home Videos. It's 600th episode. They put together a video that is 10 minutes long, 600 seconds, of 600 hits to the groin.
Yeah, it's something.
I mean,
it's
hundreds
yeah.
of people getting hit in the nads. It's insane.
It really is. You get through about 50 and you go, okay, this has to be about over. And then you look at the time and you still have another 99 minutes. I mean, it's crazy.
That is a great video. You can find that at krock.com or kevinb.com. There's also a wonderful video from all the snow they've been getting in the Pacific Northwest and in Northern California.
Yes.
This one is Snow Day at the Oregon Zoo. And this is all of the animals, the seals and the polar bears and the elephants all frolicking in the zoo in the snow. And it's so cute.
The elephant
so
in the snow.
Cute.
Come on.
It's adorable,
all right,
Dave.
Take it easy,
guys.
What's going
animals
on?
Animals in snow.
We got it.
Afternoon.
It's ripple. Cute.
A couple we want to focus on here, though, because I think you'll enjoy hearing him, is Ed Sheeran. He dropped two new singles last Friday, and now he's starting to make the rounds talking about his forthcoming new album. He's a very talented ginger, and he was on the Capital Radio nighttime show. And a listener calls in to make an unusual request, and believe it or not, he said yes to it.
Philadelphia, born and raised on the
playground. Okay, stop right there. I'm sorry. I thought the request would be on there as well. So a caller calls in and goes, I'm a huge Ed Sheeran fan, but I also love the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Is there any way Ed could sing the theme for me? Now, did he have a heads up on that? Because how did he know the Fresh Prince from Bel-Air theme so well to be able to sing it and play it on the guitar on the spot?
Because the call was set up.
You think so?
Yeah,
really?
Fake.
Also, Ed Sheeran's magic and probably just knew it anyway.
He's a leprechaun.
He's the best.
Yeah, right.
Well, listen to how great he does with it.
Philadelphia, born and raised on the playground is where I spend most of my days. Chilling out, maxing and relaxing, all cool and all, shooting some b-ball outside of the school. When a couple of guys who were up to no good, they started making trouble in my neighborhood. I got in one little fight and my mom got scared. She said, you're moving with your auntie and uncle in Bel-Air. I whistled for a cab, but when it came near, the license plate said fresh and light diced in a minute. and anything I could say that this cab was where, but I thought, now nah, forget it, yo, home's a Bel Air.
It's pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
I love that. All right, here's a guy who's messing with his roommate. Kevin, you'll like this one too. His roommate, like you know, a lot of people who are playing guitar and learning to play guitar, is practicing all the time. And the roommate keeps walking in. No matter what room his roommate with the guitar is in, he just starts singing the Green Day song, Time of Your Life, no matter what his roommate is playing. And it's just driving his roommate crazy because he does it over and over and over again. It's so funny.
Another turning point, a fork in the... Another turning point, a fork in the... Another turning point, a fork in the road.
What?
You gonna sing it?
Sing what? What? This
song.
And there, oh, I've never heard the song before. I'm sorry.
See, because when he finally does play that song, the roommate plays that.
By the way, that friend deserves it for playing Eagle Eye Cherry and Goo Goo Dolls.
He's just learning to play guitar.
He's learning to play guitar.
So funny.
No.
Yeah.
It's really
he
a good video.
It. So good.
All right.
Another turning point.
Here's the one we've been really looking forward to. This is off-air video of an Australian newscaster. Now, correct me if I'm wrong here, Ali, but it looks to me like she's got one guest on a screen and a second guest shows up on a screen, and they're all, by coincidence, wearing white shirts.
Yeah, it's a triple box. So you see three different people in three different locations in the studio, but on the same screen.
And the main lady who's working on this newscast has asked the second lady who's joining the broadcast to just change, to put on a sweater or do something because she doesn't want all three of them to have white shirts on. I don't know why it matters, but it's important to her. And listen to the way she talks to this woman that she's about to interview on her show as a guest. It's crazy.
I need Julie to put a jacket on because we're all in white. I asked her, I asked her before we came on, Julie, you need to put a jacket on.
Blood out. I haven't had time. Does someone?
Come on! I told you 2 hours ago. We know
Amber,
in chat room.
This is not. So I'm sorry. I've been flat out.
Well,
honestly.
I'll call wardrobe and we'll get something.
No, if you give me a second, if we can ask, I'm not sure who your lineup is today. If there's just a jacket floating around out there, ask Danica.
No, you're right. No, you're right because you told me it's fine, Sandy. But there can't be three of us.
No.
And I've made this clear 2.5 hours ago.
Amber, if it's an issue, I can get on out of here.
It is an issue. Go and grab a jacket.
All right, stop right there.
Jenny, someone...
Why is this such a big deal to this lady on TV? Ellie, you know TV. What's going on?
Well, first of all, you shouldn't have three of the guests wearing white up there.
Because it looks like a Klan rally all of a sudden?
Well, and it's just it's distracting. You're not going to listen to what they're talking about. Yeah. So she was right to have asked her, but then it just got insane. And by the way, that's her coworker. This isn't just someone she's interviewing.
Oh,
they
one work time
together.
Thing. I thought it was a one-time thing.
No.
Oh. Well, the dressing down continues. Listen up.
Jenny, someone able to grab me a jacket, please?
I wasn't saying it for no reason. The wardrobe girls would be furious downstairs.
I'm wearing blue for one, Amber. I don't
know,
want to
but
be
it doesn't look
this.
Like it. There's a black one hanging up on the back
if
of
there's
my a, one.
If there's an issue, I can just head on out and get back to work because I'm flat chat. I genuinely forgot.
I've made this. I told you.
If it's an issue, I'll just jump on out, honestly.
Fine, jump on out. If that's what you'd like to do. I asked you 2.5 hours ago. It's not the hardest request.
Amber, please. This is not the only thing
there's
I'm doing
one,
today.
Yeah, there's one hanging on the rack. I know there's two. I know it's not your issue, but I did ask Julie 2.5 hours
Can
ago.
No,
she hadn't
fine.
Mentioned that.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, why didn't she mention how long ago she said it?
Well, did you notice, too, it started 2 hours. Then it was 2.5 hours. I'm like, Amber, come on.
Hey, since
come
I was on. 5 years old, I've been telling you to put on a goddamn sweater. All right, does it go to the part in the tape where they then...
More.
Then the camera goes on, and she couldn't be more delightful to these people and nicer. I mean, she's so two-faced.
Time now to head into the chat room, and joining me today is psychologist Sandy Ray in Melbourne and Nine's Julie Snook in Sydney. A big welcome to both of you. Thank you for joining
Hello.
Us.
Good afternoon.
Listen to her. She's all like smiley now. Oh, so great to see you guys. A big welcome.
Here's the thing. Melbourne. Someone in that control room that was monitoring this released it. Someone in that newsroom hates her.
Yes. Well, they did the right thing.
And rightfully so. It was so awkward. Oh.
Anyway, you can see all these videos and so much more. Go to KRock.com or KevinDeBean.com. It's a brand new Kevin DeBean Internet Roundup.
Kevin
DeBean
Internet Roundup.
Yeah, yeah. 106.7 KROQ is KROQ. This is the Kevin DeBean Show. It is 9:38. If you're into those winter sports, the skiing and the snowboarding and whatnot, there, I can't remember a better week than right now with 12 feet of snow throughout much of the West.
Yeah.
And we are giving away the ultimate getaway prize package right now to Crested Butte Mountain Ski Resort, which is just a jewel there in Colorado. And it's Alaska Airlines round-trip airfare from LAX to Crested Butte, three-night hotel accommodations, lift tickets, ski rentals, the whole deal. And it's as simple as picking up the phone and giving us a call. If you want a great weekend away in the snow, call us now at 1-800-520-1067. Beer mugs out there on the phones, right?
Yep, sure is.
Let's make it caller 60 this time. How about that?
I like it.
How about the big 6-0? Caller 60 at 1-800-520-1067. Ralph is here with our final look at the showbiz beat.
Dick.
Right?
Why would you do that to a boy?
Because Muggs enjoys speaking with our listeners.
The more the better.
Hey, right, man.
That's what he says.
Tonight, 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose, Kevin Smith and I are going to be taking the stage yet again to bring you some more Hollywood Babylon joy.
No.
We have a pretty good time, and so do the folks that come out and join us. So please do. Go to improv.com to get your tickets and join us tonight. We're going to have some fun.
I'm sorry, that just wasn't interesting to me.
We'll be talking about a lot of stuff, like the fact that finally the big stars are signing up to perform at the inauguration for President-elect Donald J. Trump. Just announced today, Paul Anka. Yes, Paul Anka.
Yay!
Paul Anka, legendary singer-songwriter.
Where do I know that name from?
Paul Anka. He wrote a bunch of songs like My Way. You know the Frank Sinatra hit My Way?
Yes.
He is going to be, he wrote that. He's going to be performing at the inauguration, but he's going to rewrite the lyrics in honor of his good friend Donald Trump. So we get a new version.
Okay.
Now the end is near. I've had my fill of hooker urine.
I'm not sure that's how it goes.
Yes, that's how the new version's going to go. We're all looking forward to that. And the stars are lining up to play the big party before the inauguration. The event on Thursday night, January 19th, will be the big Make America Great Again Welcome Celebration.
Okay.
Which will be held at the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, and that's where the big names are going to be. Toby Keith, the Piano Guys.
What are the Piano Guys?
There are two guys who play piano. I think there's three of them, actually.
Okay.
And they play piano. Lee Greenwood, and just announced, Three Doors Down. Three Doors Down will be playing the Make America Great Again Welcome Celebration.
All right.
And now, I'm Putin's boy, and so I drop my pants and bend it. We're about to lose our one of our great citizens.
Who?
I'm a little upset.
Who are we losing?
Jaden Smith has announced he is leaving Los Angeles.
Yeah.
What are we going to do? We got to stop it.
We're going to be without a moral compass, I'll tell you that much, without
That's
a spiritual
for damn sure.
leader. Jaden has announced he is leaving Los Angeles. He did it via an Instagram Live video. Why? Well, there's many reasons. For example, this city, some bad things are going on here. A lot of bad things here, he says.
None of them are affecting Jaden Smith.
Yeah, they are.
He's got a pretty easy life.
He can't follow his heart. He can't do what he wants to do. He can't be who he wants to be. Don't try to be somebody here. He said.
What?
Because there's nobody that's supporting the youth or the youth's creativity. He said about Los Angeles. More importantly, he's got bigger questions like, why don't people Instagram Live cancer research? Or speeches on peace? Nothing about this life makes any sense. He says, why aren't we Instagramming live about saving people's lives?
Was he Instagram Living this?
He was.
Okay.
So he's part of the problem, then, for why Instagram Live
no,
has so many
No, he's giving you the wake-up call. What could cause this existential crisis? What could cause him to collapse like this, this total and complete moral collapse. He failed his driver's test.
That's what it was. That's why he was in the parking lot of a DMV.
Yes.
You're kidding.
No.
Holy crap.
No. Oh my God. He says in the beginning of the video, how is he going to tell his father that he failed the test?
And we had no idea what the test was.
Who's we?
I actually have that right here.
It's going to be so funny to tell my dad I like failed straight up.
Yeah, I failed straight up. Yeah. I didn't realize that's what
it was
about.
We thought he just failed at life. We didn't know there was a test. No, none of us
did. He's at the DMV. He took a driver's test.
Right, but that was like a minute later he was saying, I'm at the DMV. But he doesn't mention the driver's test in that. So I didn't know that's what it was.
Oh,
that's
I thought you guys knew the story.
No,
oh,
not at all. That is great.
Yeah. Oh see, that's what happens when you live a life of complete indulgence, when your parents give you all the money and clout to do whatever you want, that a little cloud goes on your horizon.
Yep. He doesn't get told no very often.
It's all over.
He doesn't understand that there are a lot of people who fail their test. That happens.
But
if
you
go back.
If they don't pass you on your driver's test, they're not supporting youth's creativity. Maybe he drove creatively. Maybe he decided not to stay within the lines on the road, or maybe he drove over the sidewalk.
Right.
Or ignored those signs and lights that people put up for a reason.
Those are for squares,
right? That's right. It's not creative. That's following the man's rules.
That is awesome.
Yeah, he's the best.
But he's able to be in movies and make raps and run around in a dress.
They said no to him.
Okay.
That's not acceptable.
Doesn't he have to wait like a month and then he can try again and get his license? Isn't that how it works?
You don't know.
I don't even know if it's a month.
You don't get it, man. L.A. doesn't support youth. L.A. hates youth.
Yeah.
They don't care for that at all.
Yep.
They always put the young people down.
Yeah.
They're all about old people in L.A.
We love old people.
We put them on a pedestal and give them all the jobs.
Anyone here fail their driving test?
No, we're not idiots,
I'm
Kevin.
I'm not a fool.
Okay.
I did.
There
Kevin,
you go.
How many times?
First.
Three!
No, I mean, I. Stop!
No!
I mean, I got it on my third time.
No.
You failed twice before you got your license?
Was this the written part or the...
Dave said he did.
No.
Let's talk about
that.
We're
on you, Slippers. Was this the actual,
the
practical?
Behind the, okay.
It was the behind the wheel with the...
Holy crap.
Were you going too fast?
Guy in the next seat? I don't remember. I was probably...
Were you wearing slippers?
I was probably driving too...
Did you not work the pedals properly?
I was probably driving too good.
Oh.
And he's like, oh, slow down.
With the goodness.
We better send him back to get worse before we give him a license.
Right, that's what happened.
Holy
Dave says
crap.
He failed for speeding.
How many times, Dave?
Oh, speeding?
Just once.
Just once.
Oh. Wow.
Wish I didn't bring it up.
Wow.
Back to you.
I mean...
I would have put any amount of money on Kevin failed the written because he refused to study the book.
No, we're not... You didn't ask me about that. Of course I failed that one, too.
You failed the written as well.
Of course, yeah. Of course. Because I figured I could just figure it out.
Yeah.
And then the way they write them, you just can't figure it out. So then I had to go back and study. Yeah, sure.
My God.
You guys, this can't be a surprise. This cannot be.
Shockingly,
it is. No, it really is indicative
me,
of your whole entire life.
It can't be a surprise.
It's probably someone didn't come in and take it for you.
Now I'm one of the best drivers alive.
No, you're
so
not. You
got
not
that going
good.
For me.
Sure. And you hear that from the state of California often.
Yeah. Didn't they single out as one of the worst in the state?
I mean...
Didn't they send you a letter saying you're one of the worst drivers in the state?
Those were the words on the paper, but, you read between the lines.
What?
Yeah, I did get a letter saying
what?
I'm one of the worst drivers in the state of California.
You keep doing what you're doing.
You're freaking Zelig. You're just...
How am I one
Forrest
of the worst?
Gumping your way through life.
How am I one of the worst drivers in California?
Because you're awful.
But I'm not.
But you are.
Oh, God.
I think the state
it's
was
empirical
reacting.
Evidence.
They were reacting to how many points you have on your license, Kevin. They didn't just.
Oh, that counts now?
Yes.
Still. Always did, always will.
They didn't just randomly pull your name out and send you a letter.
There
was
like
a reason.
Did. I feel like it was random.
No.
I feel like they send a lot of those out just to keep you on your toes.
No,
of course they do.
Empirical evidence.
Be ridiculous.
To your awfulness.
I assume someone else would have my back other than Dave.
The other worst driver in the world, by the way.
Right.
The guy drives without freaking windshield wipers. Can't make a left turn. doesn't use headlights.
I still call him No Left Turn. That's still my nickname for him.
He's the worst. You and the worst. You two are the worst.
I tried doing that yesterday when it was raining. On my way home, I said, Dave doesn't use windshield wipers. It's raining. I'm going to try it. Mm-hmm. And I turned off my windshield wipers for 5 seconds.
Turns out you can't see.
You can't see S. There's no way you can see through that.
Right. You weren't going fast enough.
I was going 70, Dave.
No, you weren't, and you're bad.
I don't know how to argue that. Back to you, Ralph. Sorry for the intrusion.
Time for me to start my weekend.
I truly am sorry for that one.
Today's celebrity birthdays. One of the best ladies in the world and the funniest people on television, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, celebrates her birthday.
She's incredible, isn't she?
She's a remarkable woman and a remarkable talent and couldn't be nicer and better. It's frustrating. When's that Brad Meltzer going to write I Am Julia Louis-Dreyfus book?
That's a great
that
question.
That we're all waiting on.
I think she has won Emmys for every series she's ever been in, by the way.
Yeah.
Not just for Seinfeld, but for Veep and for that New Adventures of Old Christine or whatever that was called. She won. I mean, she's just the best thing in every show she's on.
She's remarkable. Patrick Dempsey's 51. He's a dick, though, right?
No.
That's what I've heard.
No,
I don't think we've heard that.
Very lovely.
Oh, I think we've heard that from anyone.
I've done...
Did he cheat on his wife or something?
Nope, they're back together. Everything's great.
He's
he
dick.
Does so
they
much
threw him
work.
Off his show, the Grey's Anatomy show. They threw him off because he was a dick.
He does so much work for cancer research. I did a whole blood drive with him. He is a lovely, lovely human being. And he's from Maine.
He is the founder of ISIS.
He's the founder of ISIS.
He's a lovely man.
He's a huge tool.
Nope. Yep. Great guy.
Tick.
Doesn't he always call people Bubba?
Yeah, he always calls people Bubba too. Michael Pena is 41 years old today. He's going to be in chips. Sorry. Orlando Bloom is 40 years old. Brad Williams, diminutive comedian Brad Williams, is 33 years old today. And actor Liam Hemsworth. Now, Liam, is that Thor?
I think that's Chris.
I think that's Chris.
Chris is Thor.
Yeah, Liam is Miley Cyrus.
Mr. Miley, right?
Yeah.
How do we get him out of that? How do we extricate him from that situation? He was out, and then he went back in.
Yeah, that happened.
He's 27 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win this afternoon at 5 p.m. here on the world-famous K-Rock with an hour of commercial-free music. Thanks to them for that. We will see you on Tuesday. Have a great weekend.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Oh, hi. Did you want to buy some drugs?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
It's one of the best things I've had in my mouth.
Roll another one.
Where's the outrage there?
Just like the other one.
I consider that an asset, not a liability.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Where's the boom?
Another
sick crap. Russia, China, fake news, hacking Hillary Clinton. Bad, terrible, disgraceful, horrible. Nazi Germany, fantastic, garbage, germaphobe. Give me a break. You're fired.
Why?
Roll another one.
Get this week's stuff out of here.
Just like the other one.
Now hiring both locations.
This one seems to be about to end.
I don't know why that had to be brought in.
I don't have another cent.
It's all fake news. It's phony stuff. It didn't happen.
But don't bogart that joint.
Just happened.
Just pass it around.
Well, it doesn't sound awesome.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
I'd like to punch him in the face.
But just pass it.
Is that it?
Today was just a dream come true. I stepped out of my comfort zone many different times and angles. Dad would be proud, even though I was naked. He would be proud.
You're terminated. Hasta la vista, baby.
Hey, what do you want from me? Okay? Seriously.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
You're fired. Goodbye, everybody. Goodbye.
All right, Pete Carlos.